about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Men, I'm not gonna waste any more of your time than I have to. I wanna wish you good luck on today's mission. To those of you who won't be coming back, I'd like to say we're gonna do our best to take care of your wives and or sweethearts. Everyone ready to go?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Got a message for all you kids out there. I know everyone says, oh, you can do whatever you want if you put your mind to it.
It's all one big lie.
Crushing disappointment. So, give up on your dream.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period.
You're just absolutely right. And I'm absolutely wrong. It must be nice to always believe you know better. To always think you're the smartest person in the room.
No, it's awful.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Am I on the air?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hell yeah.
Roll another one.
You're being quite rude.
Just like the other one.
I get it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
But you're wrong.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
That's a deal. Why?
Roll another one.
Chronically flatulent.
Just like the other one.
I'm a scientist.
This one seems to be about to end.
Whatever that is.
I don't have another cent.
I'm gonna quote a great man here and say, Daddy likey.
Come a long way since Kazan.
Just pass it around.
That's racist.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You know what I keep asking myself?
Why? Why didn't the Seahawks just give the ball to Marshawn?
Our feature presentation.
So, I talk here?
Yeah.
Did I talk here?
Into that...
Here?
Yeah, right
level
there.
Test, level test, level test, test.
Is that working? That's working. Okay, good.
Yes, Bean, you talk there.
Can I be heard? Hello, hello.
Okay.
New York calling, hello.
Allie.
Hi. How's everyone?
I think it's working.
Okay.
As of 4 seconds ago, it wasn't working.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are under a bridge, in the water, but we're on the air. Hey, everybody.
Testing, 1, 2. Okay. Test, test.
Okay.
All
right, good.
All right.
Okay. Now you know it's working.
Yeah. All right, let's just all breathe.
All right.
It's been a frantic few minutes.
Let's see. I mean, Kevin, you missed the most of it.
You missed almost all of it, yeah.
Here's what I was doing while you guys were going through all of that heartache is that I was downstairs.
Trying to get in the building, right?
Yeah. And then someone said they would come down. So then I said, okay, I'll wait. And then we were like, oh, forget it. Let's just go upstairs. So then we went upstairs. And then the guy that was supposed to get us went downstairs.
Oh, no.
So I was texting him going, hey, we're upstairs. He's like, I'm downstairs. I'll be right up. So then he comes up, and we're on the wrong floor. So then we get into the elevator, and it's floor 11 instead of floor 10. There's no way to get to floor 11 on the elevator. Not possible.
We are in a downtown Manhattan skyscraper, essentially, and it's massive. It's like walking through the Death Star.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out where everybody's supposed to be, where all the studios were. And we had a little bit of trouble getting somebody to come down and get us, and then they weren't ready for us, and we waited a long time, too.
I mean, it's really the way we do things.
Yeah. It's they did just...
This is a test.
Okay, good.
Okay,
it's
good.
A test, mother... It's the test. You gotta pass the test.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're passing.
Because if you don't, you'll get
right.
Okay.
We don't want that.
But we are on the air, right, sir?
test.
Okay. Okay. It's a test. You got it. We're live from New York City.
It's the test.
All right. It's test. We have tested it and the audio works.
It's a motherfucking test. Yo, it's a motherfucking test.
Right.
You're going to pass the test.
I think we passed.
You get your up.
We passed, sir.
Who are you going to blame?
Huh?
Who you got to blame?
We're not trying to blame anyone.
Yourself, because you're a lousy motherfucker.
Oh, how about that? We're doing the best.
Yeah.
Okay, we're doing the best we can.
Wow.
All right. So I feel like there's some catching up that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We took separate flights. Obviously, we're live from New York City, Kevin and Bean show, because the Grammys are this weekend. So we're here for today and we're here for Monday. But obviously, we arrived separately yesterday because y'all came from Los Angeles and I came from Louisiana. So I got in much earlier than you did.
Mm-hmm.
You guys arrived and then went out again last night, even though you got in later?
It wasn't late. It was just 8:30.
Yeah. We got to the hotel like 9:30.
So you must have been exhausted.
No.
That's right. That's turn down service and hit the hay, right?
That's 6:30 our time. Yeah. So we were okay. Yeah.
Here's what Ali said. Look, I'm going to drop off my bags and I'm going right to dinner. So who's with me?
Who has dinner at 9 o'clock at night?
We were hungry.
We were hungry, and by dinner, I mean Prosecco. Right?
I'm sorry. If there's nothing on my plate by 5:30, I just figure there's no dinner happening.
Oh, my God. You're so old. You are a 90-year-old man.
But you know
have you told yourself that?
That's always been true. When B was 15, he would eat dinner at 4 and go to bed by 5:30. That's crazy.
That's about right.
Yeah.
So did you have a good time? Did you meet up with folks, Allie?
Not last night.
Okay.
No,
so you're just drinking alone last night.
Yes. No, Kevin was there.
Yeah, we were downstairs, and there was a guy that was listening to our conversation.
Uh-huh.
That was a security expert, some kind of an internet
cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity. Yeah. So we had a long conversation with him.
I showed him the cover on my iPhone camera. He's like, "Wow, I didn't even know that people put that on their phones." He basically was like, "That's really scary." Like, no, you're a cybersecurity guy.
He should be giving you mad props for being proactive on that.
He didn't even know about it.
He's a terrible cybersecurity expert.
What kind of a cybersecurity expert are you?
Good times. But Kevin did try and break into someone else's room.
I mean, technically it wasn't my room.
What happened?
Well,
I mean, they give you a room number that matches what's on the door when you check into a hotel, right?
Well, yes.
Get a little piece of paper that has the number on it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you go up to the room and you look for the corresponding numbers.
Right.
And then you let yourself in.
Okay, so that happened.
What can go wrong?
That happened. And then put the luggage out there and then went down to have dinner and drinks. And by the way, here's Allie's line. Is it midnight? No? All right, I'll have a drink. I was like, it's 10 till. That's fine. All
the guy
good.
Was like, do you want another drink? And I literally opened my phone. Is it midnight yet? Oh, 11:50. Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
So then we ate, had some drinks, talked to cybersecurity, went back upstairs.
All right.
Tried my key. Super annoyed that it didn't work.
Sure.
Like, really? Come on.
What kind of a low-rent hotel is this?
We've been here 15, 20 minutes, and my hotel key already doesn't work.
I'm already locked out? Come on.
Tried it. Shook the door handle. Tried it. And then looked on my phone, because I always take a picture of my room number.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, look on my phone.
That's a smart idea,
it's
I guess.
Smart,
but I've
right?
never heard of that.
Well, you don't drink, Bean.
and I can remember one number.
Yeah. So he looked on his phone.
It's three numbers, Bean.
Okay.
There it is.
Yep,
he's showing Bean. Yep.
All right. So I look at my phone and I go, oh, I'm not at the right door. So whoever's inside is probably like, somebody's trying to break in. I don't know what's happening right now, but they're shaking the door. You know how when somebody tries it and it doesn't work, they keep trying it? You start getting worried. Like, what's happening?
Yeah. They definitely thought it was a hotel invasion robbery
100%.
Happening.
100%. So I just marine crawled down the hallway and just opened my door and got in and went to bed.
So there was almost an international incident.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, true or false, and I know we don't have all the time in the world here, or maybe we do because Allie has no what's happening to present for us, but
well, I mean,
she can make it up.
True or false that beer mug was a challenge to travel with yesterday?
Define challenge.
Well,
here's the thing about beer mug.
I heard he was well lubricated for the ride.
He was well lubricated, yes. We did get off a plane, and he said, and we were downstairs getting luggage
The carousel,
and he said, "Oh, I left my suit on the plane."
Oh no!
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But don't worry. We had Carlos back on the plane because he had left stuff as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had two people that had literally left very important things on the plane. Carlos left, things that you're going to need for a broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Muggs left his suit. Why did he bring a suit?
I think he's going to try to do... We can't really talk about that.
Okay. Oh. Something he needs a suit for.
Yes, he needs a suit, though, yeah.
All right. I understand today Beer Mug is trying to get on the Today Show.
Yes.
He's standing out in front of the Today Show. Now, of course, this won't... It's tape delayed to the West Coast, but later on, if all goes well, we'll see through the windows behind the hosts of the Today Show, we'll see Beer Mug holding a big sign that says...
Thanks for the tacos, Carson Daly.
Yeah! What does that even mean?
Apparently, Carson, when he showed up this last time he was working at K-Rock, just before AMP, he did a fill-in shift. And when he did a fill-in shift, he brought all kinds of food, tacos and enchiladas and all this food and drinks. He had a lot of, you know, alcohol, beverages. He, right? He set up a whole thing. In
like
a
buffet?
Yes. Because he's a very nice man.
Yes.
And Beer Mug, being an elephant who never forgets, wants to repay his kindness.
Well, when it's food.
Okay. Yeah.
Beer Mug, he remembers.
All right. So Beer Mug on the Today Show, and we struggle through technically here, but we're on the air, guys, and we have a lot of stuff on the program today. Am I right?
Bean, if you had to suggest, how many times out of how many times when we're on the road doing remotes, does it happen just like it did today, where most stuff doesn't happen, and we doubt that we're going to be able to broadcast live till the very last second, and sometimes 5-10 minutes after the last second?
If you could rephrase the question to be, has there ever been a live broadcast out of the city where that hasn't happened?
Right.
I would
say
no. Right. No. So this is what we expect, I guess.
The way it goes. Yeah.
You guys, plot twist.
Yeah.
We're not on the air. We are just chatting with ourselves in this room.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, then the conversation should definitely be better.
No one tell us. What, Chip?
But I can make that happen.
Yeah. Well, we can make that happen, too, apparently. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, should we talk about that?
I agree with my lover.
There's a guy here in New York who runs a gym, and he has naked workout classes.
We don't need that, do we?
Well, what if I were to tell you that Beer Mug was going to go there?
We don't need that, really.
And exercise and get a private one-on-one.
Is the idea the same that is... I guess I should ask him later if we talk to this guy, but there are some people who say... Whenever you want to eat something really fattening, a piece of cake, do it with your shirt off or do it naked because it'll change your mind about what you put in your body.
I've never heard that.
Is that what they're trying to do with fitness here? Is they're trying to get people?
No, you don't think so. This guy just thinks that people like to be free and it helps them work out and be comfortable.
My question, is it like a yoga? This isn't like high intensity with things flopping all over the place,
right?
He didn't say
workout. I mean, he did say workout. He didn't say yoga.
Oh, no. So much flopping.
We've got questions.
We don't need that kind of flopping.
And so much hair with Beer Mug being there.
Right? Also, we're going to talk to you if you lost a loved one's ashes. There are a lot of stories like this that come through where somebody doesn't know where they placed Grandpa. And it's an odd thing. So we're going to take your calls today. Bean, tell people who Jack Antonoff is if they don't know, because he's an in-studio guest today.
He is indeed. He's an extremely talented musician. He played the K-Rock Weenie Roast with his band Bleachers. He played the K-Rock Acoustic Christmas with his band Fun. But he has, in the last few years, become the go-to songwriter, producer. He's worked with everybody from Taylor Swift to Lorde to St. Vincent to the list goes on and on and on. He's just a super talented guy, really cool guy. And we've never had him on the Kevin and Bean Show today. I'm very excited. He'll stop by on the 8 o'clock hour.
We're going to tell you about an app in Southern California that will warn you up to 60 seconds, if you believe it, of an earthquake. So basically, you'll have your phone, and it'll start vibrating. You'll take out your phone, and it'll say, earthquake imminent. How crazy is that?
That sounds very useful.
Is it possible that it works?
I don't know.
And what are you doing in that 1 minute, maybe out of a dead sleep?
Finishing.
Oh, good Lord.
But on a clock.
No clapping.
Our friend Rudy might stop by with some New York tips.
Oh, good.
That's very exciting. And it's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100 as well. We will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, live from New York City. What's happening, party people?
It's 5:56 is what's happening. And what's happening, Allie?
You guys, this is huge news. Breaking news, if you will. I mean, I should have warned you.
Okay.
It's breaking news. If I can get a breaking news bulletin.
You might be able to at some point today.
Kevin, if you could give me a breaking news bulletin just with your mouth. There it is. Good job.
My mouth is talented.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Okay, excellent. We have a new Colonel Sanders.
Okay.
Do they change weekly?
It seems like it.
It seems like it.
How many do we need, Allie?
17.
Because I kind of lost track after Rob Riggle. Was he one? Was Rob Riggle one? I think it was. Yeah.
Okay. But this one is touting their new Smoky Mountain barbecue flavor in commercials that are going to start airing on January 28th. This person is nearly unrecognizable. Gray wig, mustache, typical Sanders fare.
Can I guess?
Right? I would love for you to.
You said the product is called what?
I told you that it is called Smoky Mountain Barbecue Flavor.
Based on the Smoky Mountains region of the United States, I'm going to say the great Dolly Parton is the new Colonel Sanders.
You are so close, but less boobage.
So close, but less boobage.
She's got that Dollywood and everything there in the Smoky. Okay, so.
But think that same
area?
Area. Think maybe same gender?
So we're talking a lady Colonel Sanders.
Yes, we are.
You got me.
Reba McEntire.
Oh, Reba McEntire.
What?
From Arkansas, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not the greatest breaking news you've ever heard, but it's what we have right now. We're here for the Grammys, you guys.
Yes.
A lot of people don't have Grammys. People that you would expect to have Grammys. Diana Ross. 12 nominations.
No
nothing.
Grammys. Really?
That is shocking.
Wow.
Shocking,
isn't
right?
Isn't she one of the most popular entertainers of all time?
100%.
She's had like 20 number one songs. She's never won a Grammy?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the dude that likes to pee on hookers? Chuck Berry.
No Grammys.
No Grammys.
I was thinking R. Kelly.
You know
what? He pees on family members that are underage, unfortunately. Jimi Hendrix?
Nope. That's outrageous.
The Beach Boys.
All
really?
Right.
Nothing for Pet Sounds? Nothing.
We are burning this mother down on Sunday night.
Queen.
Oh, come on.
Nothing.
Retroactively.
Four nominations, nothing.
I want them to come out on the stage. I want James Corden Sunday night to come out and go, hey, you know all those people that didn't get Grammys? Read a list and just give them all some.
Depeche Mode. 5 nominations.
Okay.
This is insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we're talking Bob Marley, Snoop Dogg, Janis Joplin, Run DMC, Tribe Called Quest. Are you kidding me? Nas.
Well, someone's
Nas,
racist.
13 nominations.
Someone's racist.
That's what I'm saying. It is unacceptable.
We got to change this.
We do have to change this.
Hey, Bean, we have no power to change
somebody
this.
Needs to do something.
It's not possible.
Someone needs to do something. You are right. Hey, when we come back in a bit, I want to tell you about a bar in New York that has some pretty interesting rules. And I'm just going to tell you, a bunch of us would be kicked out for saying just one specific word that we say a lot.
Oh.
Like, literally a lot. I'm going to tell you all about that bar and how we need to send Beer Mug and we need to have him kicked out. Because that's what we're
going to
do this weekend.
I like going straight to a place with Beer Mug with the intent of having him immediately thrown out.
100%.
Yeah.
Hey, some birthdays for you. Wayne Gretzky, the great one.
Come on.
Come on.
Right?
Eddie Van Halen and Ellen DeGeneres. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from New York City.
Our funniest listener, Edwin, writes in, hey, guys, I hope you're breaking into Allie's room and moving her bags around so she thinks they're ghosts in the hotel. And I was also wondering, does Kevin take a picture with his phone of everything he does so he won't get lost? I'd love to see his camera roll on an average day.
I don't, but every time I go to a hotel, I do. Because there are times when perhaps a beverage or two is had, and I don't remember. So last night, it actually helped me. I took a picture of the number of my room.
Brilliant. Kevin.
Right? Thank you.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I feel like Kevin is a guy who needs breadcrumbs to find his way out of the forest on a daily basis.
Sure.
Yeah.
And maybe an escort. Maybe a GPS.
Sure. Our friend Rudy Cisneros is going to stop by with some suggestions on what to do while we're here in the Big Apple this weekend.
Great.
And what's up with Florida later this hour. First, though, Allie, what's on your mind?
Well, you know how different regions, they all have slang that might mean something different in another region.
Right.
Scotland has its own, it seems like its own language. They're not even speaking English over there
they
with some of the things.
They do have their own language.
Well,
they're not speaking English.
Literally. Literally. My grandfather is from Scotland, and one of my favorite things was when my friends would come over and meet him, and I wouldn't warn them, like, listen, you probably won't understand a word.
A single word.
And my friend, we would leave the house, and they'd be like, what the hell did he just say? I'm like, right? It's insane. Well, Vanity Fair was pretty smart. They went to Mr. Gerard Butler. Mm-hmm. He's promoting his movie called Den of Thieves and said, hey, give us some Scottish slang and tell us what these words actually mean.
Okay.
And I wanted to quiz you guys. So Number one, what do you think Bucky means?
Bucky.
B-U-C-K-Y? Bucky?
Bucky.
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 B-A-C-K-Y?
I mean, the obvious thing would be your back, but that can't be right.
Pubes.
Pubes. All right, Gerard, what does Bucky mean?
Tobacco. Either chewing or smoking.
Oh, tobacco. Of course. Of course.
Come on.
Okay, now we get the feeling.
We got to get our head in the game. Okay.
Right. So now that you know how it works, what would, how'd your weesht?
How'd your weesht?
What's your weesht?
How'd your weesht?
Oh, man. What's your weesht?
How'd your weesht?
How'd your weesht?
How's your weekend?
How's your weekend?
That's a pretty good guess.
Means shut up.
Really?
None of this makes sense. This one.
I'm going to start using it, though. I know that.
This one is the reason that we're doing the segment. What do you think air beige means?
Air beige is a.
Air beige.
Air beige. Air beige.
Air beige.
Pubes.
Okay. He's going pubes. Gerard?
Fart.
Air beige is a fart. And it makes sense because. Yeah. All right. What's a ball bag?
Ball bag. Oh, yeah, we ball bag.
A ball bag.
Scrotum.
Actually, that sounds like it might be.
Ball bag.
Yeah, really? Scrotum is a good guess, I think.
All right, Gerard.
Is a scrotum means you are a scrotum.
Yes. Yeah. Very well done.
Finally. Kevin takes the lead.
Yes, he does.
All right, what about Weebit?
Weebit?
Oh, penis.
That is a short period of time, I would imagine. Kevin is obsessed.
He did, yes. But we met.
Well, that's sad.
Right?
That's
right?
Just you, though,
I'm
by
looking
the way.
At Dave.
Okay, so short period of time.
I
Gerard?
Think so, yeah.
Means a little amount. You know.
Okay.
Like, were you drunk or were you steaming? Ach, a wee bit.
Okay.
Okay, got it.
We'll give that one to Bean.
Bean adjacent, yeah.
How about this? Go on yourself.
Go on yourself!
Go on yourself, meaning leave or do it on your own.
Okay.
I agree.
Gerard?
Go on. You can do this. It's a sign of encouragement.
Oh. Okay.
Not something you often get in Scotland.
Okay.
Yawn yourself.
It's a little look into his life right there. Your bum's out the windy.
Fuck, your bum's out the windy.
Is that when you're, drop a trowel, hanging your butt out a car window? You're flashing? You're mooning?
Mooning? Okay, your bum's out the windy, Kevin.
I think it's less than that. I think it's maybe your crack is showing, your pants are too low.
Okay.
I think it's just that.
All right, Gerard?
Means you're talking nonsense?
Of course it does.
We were spot on.
Right?
Wait, what's that expression again? Your what?
Your bum's out the windy.
Your bum's out the windy. Okay.
I love it.
All right, working this one in, too.
And finally... What's a jobby?
A jobby.
Oh, well, am I allowed to say?
I mean, all of Kevin's answers have been in his pants, so why not this one, too?
You promised me a jobby, right?
How much for a jobby?
Right,
yeah,
good.
Use it in a sentence.
Same.
Go on.
Gerard.
Jobby means the sweetest name that you could ever have for jobby.
Poop.
Oh,
yeah.
Tally.
Yeah.
How's there a sweet name for that?
It's sweet.
Okay.
Just a bonnie lass took a job.
Does this make you more or less want to move to Scotland?
More. Actually. Yeah, pretty cool. Absolutely.
I like it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from New York City for the Grammys.
Even though we're in New York City, we're still handing out trips to Las Vegas to see Incubus. They are playing the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, and we're talking about round-trip transportation on the K-Rock Incubus. See what we did there?
Mm-hmm.
Your chance to win is coming up this morning and throughout the day here on the world-famous K-Rock. We always have some places that we look forward to going when we're in New York, but we're always in the market for some new adventures. You know, it's a huge city with a million places and a million people and a million stories, and we thought our friend Rudy Cisneros might be able to help us out. Rudy, you're Mr. Southern California, but you have spent some time here on the East Coast as well.
Born and bred, dog. Like, I mean, I love L.A. It's like in my jeans, you know what I'm saying? And I don't mean my Levi's, you know? It's
right,
like
right.
I should.
But like somehow, like about 4 years ago, my abuelita and I, we got this crazy Groupon where we could like just fly back and forth to New York. And
right.
So I got to know the city like crazy good. I know, like all the ins and outs, you know, of New York City. And I'd be happy to, like, you know, enlighten you so you could have a good trip. You know
that's
what I'm
fantastic.
Saying?
Well, we got nothing but time. We got off the air here this afternoon at like 1 o'clock. And then what? What do we do? What's our first move for the weekend?
All right. Hit it, Chip. Good morning, everyone. This is Rudy Cisneros.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a bite out of the Big Apple. What do you say? Ha, 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 ha. All right, let's go. Hey, remember, for reals, it's not like Southern California. Weed is crazy illegal still in the state of New York. So, like,
that's ridiculous. That's a good tip.
Use a cheesecloth and house it right next to your pito or your panoche. Because, like, not only with the smell of a real human mixed with the cheesecloth, it's just got a nice finish, you know, against your skin. And it'll, you know, protect you from, like, drug dogs. That's like, a big tip. But if you didn't happen to travel with your Yesca, there's a bodega on 53rd and 3rd that sells bomb-ass weed. You just got to go in there.
53rd
and 3rd. Ask with one eye shut. Ask for the carne asada and sprinkle the cheese.
Okay.
And they'll make sure to, like, take care of you. And
it sounds to me like the wording is very specific and very important. Don't screw it up. And have an eye closed when we
one
say
eye closed, carne asada, sprinkle the cheese.
Okay, got
and
it.
And then, like, for sure go to the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh,
and watch that bell get rung. You know, it's like a big deal, like a part of American history.
Yeah.
But like for all you Chicano tourists, fear not. There's no actual wall on Wall Street.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because that could be hectic right there.
Yeah.
My brother,
it's a good tip.
My speaking of walls, like my cousin Hector Ramos, I just want to give a little shout out, you know, a.k.a. Little Trigger. Mm-hmm. He was the first person to enter this country via catapult.
Which catapult, was,
yeah,
oh,
no,
wow.
like como se dice, like crazy birds. He just like flew in.
that's very impressive. It's dangerous, also.
I will fair warning, like the Statue of Liberty, she's not wearing no panties, and
okay.
that could get nuts in the summer, but you don't have to worry about it too much, you know, right now in the winter.
But we shouldn't get too close to Lady Liberty.
That's right, not like in the pelvis region, you know. She is French. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
you know what I'm saying, homeboy.
All right, good advice.
Speaking of the cold climate, gentlemen, beware. The weather has in New York City, it's frozen a lot more fupas than we're used to seeing out here in Southern California.
Oh, no.
So, you know, just like keep your eyes open, your head on a swivel, because there's way more fupas out there on the East Coast on the Strong Island. And, you know, if you're getting a little bit like, you know, riled up for the ladies, make sure you go out to the South Bronx. That's right. Head out to the South Bronx. You're going to leave the city. There's this Dominican bitch named Martha who will give you hand release for a pack of Jelly Bellies.
Okay. All right. That seems like a pretty good deal.
That's right. But she only likes the cotton candy flavor. So don't screw that up.
Okay. All right.
If it is frozen and you happen to want to go like ice skating at the Rockefeller Center, save your money and don't buy no ice skates. Go ahead and get a CD from one of those vatos who ripped off beer mug.
Right.
Break it in half and put it in the inside of your Nike Cortez, and boom, you got homemade skates right there. You save yourself about $15, dog.
Another good tip.
Oh, hey, Ali, don't think I forgot about you.
All right, Rudy.
Don't think I forgot about you. After midnight, there's a Russian gentleman named Vlad the Inhaler who has a terrible crack cocaine problem, hence the name. And for very little money, he will leave you walking all funny for the duration of your trip. And believe me, I know firsthand.
Oh,
did
wow.
I
do?
Did I say that out loud?
You know firsthand.
You sure did.
Never mind. Never mind.
Okay.
That sounds like some excellent tips, though, Rudy. We will get right on that. Thank you.
Are you guys flying back on JFK? Like from the JFK airport?
I think we might be, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, the northeasternmost bathroom of Terminal 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a party waiting for you if you cough 3 times with a particularly wide stance.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying, Doc?
Okay. I don't think I want to hear it. I'm taking really. Notes.
All right, and
thanks.
Remember, the last thing, the Yankees, the Mets, the Nets, the Giants, none of them are the Raiders.
Right. We're clear on that.
All right. All right. For real, though.
Okay.
How about beagles? They're crazy, right?
Thank you, Rudy. Appreciate you stopping by.
Last Snoopy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are live from New York in New York City for the Grammys.
You
want to try that again?
Take another run at that? I think maybe you should.
Shut up, Jim. This is the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're in New York for the Grammys.
Yes.
Chip, did you think that Kevin would travel across country and stay out drinking last night and be better on the radio this morning than he usually is?
I think he's doing fine.
Thank you, Chip.
There is a place called Hanson Fitness here in New York. We're going to be talking to the proprietor in about 20 minutes or so here in K-Rock. Harry Hanson, he claims is his name. He offers naked workouts at his place.
And I think what we're going to do is we're going to talk to him. We're going to figure out how to open one in Los Angeles so that we can have naked exercising in Los Angeles.
Is that what you think we're doing?
Yes.
That is coming up. Plus, multiple Grammy winner Jack Antonoff is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour as well, since we're here in town for the Grammys. First, though, what's up with Florida?
You goddamn people of Florida! You bunch of bastards! Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news. What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
I don't know how to feel about this, but when our listeners see the craziness going down in Florida, they think of me. And I don't know that I want to be associated with Florida.
I think you do. You love these stories.
But this first one I got received from dozens of Kevin and Bean listeners, and it is the story of Martin Clausen, who's working at a bank last Wednesday, and notices a blue Hyundai in the bank's drive-up bank lane with a man behind the wheel who appears to be passed out. He banged on the car window several times before the driver awoke. When the man saw the bank manager, he tried to order a burrito. The bank manager explained that he was not at a Taco Bell. The man then drove his Hyundai into the bank's front parking lot and was still in the car idling when authorities arrived. I love this report from the deputy who arrested the man for drunk driving. He said, Mr. Francisco made several statements that were differing from reality. He failed a field sobriety test in a way that was consistent with someone on prescription narcotics. That is such a classic Florida story, isn't
sure.
it?
Sure.
I love it so much. Just when you thought you've seen any... Allie, you know the Massholes. You know and love the Massholes.
Sure.
You are one, right? Do you know what a glass hole is? Are you familiar with a glass hole?
Are they from Glasgow?
This is a Florida man facing a charge of battery after police say he pulled out his glass eye while at the hospital and hurled it at a doctor and a nurse.
No, he didn't.
Oh, my God.
He had been arrested on a battery charge earlier that morning and may have been influenced by drugs and alcohol. He was taken to a local hospital, evaluated by the emergency staff, and at one point, he was about to be discharged and taken to jail when he took out his glass eye, even though hospital personnel and police on the scene told him not to. According to the police report, and this is the Florida version of Hold My Beer, the man ignored those orders and in true Florida man style said, I can do whatever I feel like doing. Then he hurled his glass eye at the ER doctor and nurse, so they added a little extra battery charge to his charges. How about this? Have you ever lived in a place, and I think we had this at K-Rock for a while, where the place is just overrun by feral cats?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Man, you start with two cats, and the next thing you know, you've got 100, and there's always some a-hole, and I say that with love because I know he or she means well, but they go, oh, those poor cats are so starving, I'm going to put out food and water,
right.
And the next thing you know, they stay there forever, right?
And multiply. Yeah.
Well, that's what's going on in Cocoa, Florida right now. More than 100 cats have taken over a neighborhood, and neighbors have just about had enough. A woman gets into her car the other morning. She had left her window down a little bit.
Mm.
She gets into the car, starts it up. Allie, I see the look on your face.
I'm about to throw up.
And a cat jumps at her from the back seat.
Oh, man.
It has been a little bit cold in Florida. This cat had climbed into the back seat, and when she started the car, the cat jumped on her head. She got out of the car, tried to get away from the cat that attacked her, but her car was still in gear, and it ran her over.
No.
Wow.
She is still in the hospital with broken ribs and a broken pelvis. That is serious, by the way.
Cats are the devil.
Cats are the devil.
Well, cats are awesome, first of all, but you don't need 100 of them in your neighborhood, I don't think. Here's some bad business. Christelle Yvette Baton works at the Winn-Dixie Liquor Store in Fort Myers, Florida. On Monday, she was arrested for larceny grand theft. Here's what happened. She's behind the counter at the Winn-Dixie. A man walks in and says, hey, I want to check my lottery ticket. She checks it, and it turns out that it won $600. So
all right.
What does Miss Baton do? Pockets the lottery ticket and says, hey, congratulations, you're a winner, and hands the man $5. I wonder how often that happens.
Yeah.
If you don't check the numbers yourself and you're counting on the clerk
you're trusting them to tell you your ticket's a winner or not? Well, it turned out that the man who was redeeming his winning ticket was, in fact, an undercover lottery commission officer.
Oh,
and that's exactly why they take that on the road, is to see if people are playing the game correctly. She, I wonder if she's done that before. I wonder. I mean, I bet in her mind she thought, I am totally going to get away with this. This dude does not know I have a $600 ticket in my hand. So don't do that, kids. And finally, in this edition of What's Up with Florida, sometimes people don't learn the lesson. Richard Jeremy Ware, back in 2011, mailed threatening letters to President Obama. He threatened to kill the president, along with the first lady, along with Hillary Clinton, along with Bill Clinton, and along with Chelsea Clinton.
Wow.
You can't do that for a number of reasons.
Secret Service does not enjoy that.
Yeah, you can't really threaten to kill anyone, but the Secret Service does get involved when you're threatening to kill the president.
Yeah.
So he was arrested, he was tried, he was convicted, he was sentenced to 5 years in jail.
That's it?
5 years in jail. Huh. 4.5 years into his sentence, from behind bars, he mailed a letter threatening to kill President Donald Trump. He was arrested again, he was tried again, convicted again, and they added another 4 years to his sentence. If there's a bright side, at least he's bipartisan, right? You hear so many people can't look across the aisle and see the other side.
I'm not sure that's a bright side for this guy.
I feel like it is. At least he's bipartisan.
Fair and balanced.
Exactly.
Yes.
So keep doing what you're doing, Mr. Ware. And this has been What's Up with Florida.
Florida. Florida. Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from New York City for the Grammys. We're going to tell you in a little bit how Beer Mug got on the Today Show about four times.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is he in custody now?
I hope.
Did he rush Carson Daly? What happened?
I hope so.
All right. Also, Naked Fitness coming up, and we're going to want to talk to you if you've ever misplaced your loved one's ashes. It happens more frequently than you might think. That's all coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, 6:55. Allie, what's happening?
Remember when we talked about Pearl Jam? They were going to be doing two hometown shows, Safeco Field, and people were thinking, okay, this is going to be their big tour. They're going to do all stadiums. They're going to do baseball stadiums as well. Remember that?
Sure.
Well, ish. So they're going to do the two shows in Seattle.
Okay.
Then they're heading over for a one-nighter at Washington Grizzly Stadium in Missoula, Montana.
All right.
Then it's two nights at Wrigley Field in Chicago.
Okay.
Then they're going to wrap it up at Fenway Park in Boston for two nights, September 2nd and 4th.
That's a very short tour.
That is the shortest tour ever.
Five dates.
What's happening?
Six dates, whatever it is.
What's going on,
yeah,
Pearl Jam?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
That's pretty cool if you can play that many shows and make as much money as they're going to make by those playing those stadiums.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. Absolutely.
Maybe they're just out of gas and weed money, so they go, hey, let's hit the road for 10 days. And then we'll be done.
Gas and weed money.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Name of the new album.
That's a good album. Did you guys hear any of the new Mike Shinoda that he released?
No. We were traveling yesterday and busy, but I heard it was very emotional for Mike and also for Linkin Park fans to hear this new music.
Yeah.
Now, this is not Linkin Park and this is not Fort Minor. This is Mike solo.
This is just Mike. He released a 3-song EP titled Post Traumatic, and it just directly addresses his whole grief process and the anxiety he has felt after Chester Bennington's death. And Shinoda has been beyond open with fans.
Yeah, he has.
About how he's dealing with things and what kind of the stages he's going through, and saying it doesn't have stages that go in order. It has phases that come and go at random. Some people have sad days. Others are having good days. Others are having angry days. So there's 3 songs. Place to Start, Watch As I Fall, and a song called Over Again. And the song Over Again kind of hones in on what anger can look like in the grieving process. And it addresses all those unanswerable questions, like why, what could I have done, should I have asked more questions. It's all those things when you lose someone to a suicide that you think you could have done something more. So here's a little bit of Over Again.
We rehearsed it for a month. I'm not worried about the set. I get tackled by the grief at times that I would least expect. I know what I should be doing when I'm singing, but instead we'll be playing through a song and I'll remember in my head. Sometimes you don't say goodbye once. You
say goodbye over and over and over again. Over. And
hey, that's what artists do, man. Is they work through their grief with their art.
100%. And there are people listening that are going through that same exact thing. Yep. So. Yeah, and in response to all the internet chatter, and from us as well, we're wondering what's going to happen with Linkin Park. Shinoda tweeted, "I have every intention on continuing with Linkin Park, and the guys feel the same. We have a lot of rebuilding to do and questions to answer, so it'll take time." So
David Lee Roth?
I don't believe that's what
you
he's
got,
hinting
wait,
at.
Wait, you got no. that from her statement?
That was what I assumed he was saying.
I don't think so.
Up to. No
well,
one is
read
saying
the rest
that.
Of the statement. The that, next sentence no, is probably, just, and no, that's why we're happy to welcome David Lee Roth
just
to the band.
Period and the closing of the quotation. Oh. Yeah, that was it.
All right. Well, so they must be saving that for another time. Okay.
Or not at all.
Can you imagine?
No.
No.
Time and Dave, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope.
Oh my God. You are the worst. I talked about it earlier. It is coming up, a bar that we are going to send mugs to. And if you use one specific word, they will boot you.
They'll throw you right out.
They will say, just get out.
I assume it's explosives.
You would think. No, no. This is a word that... we use a lot in L.A. It might have become kind of a popular thing to use this word a lot.
Maybe people overuse it?
Because of a certain family that lives in Calabasas.
Oh, is it like? Am I close?
Close.
I think you're close.
Same category.
Same category.
Is it literally?
Literally.
Really?
I'm going to tell you that story in a bit because it is so damn good. There are two different ways they'll kick you out. One, they'll let you finish your drink. The other one... If you specifically start with I literally,
mm-hmm. boom,
you're gone.
They literally throw you out.
Yeah, I'll read the statement. It is really funny. Some birthdays for you. Ellen DeGeneres, Eddie Van Halen, and Wayne Gretzky. That's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We are broadcasting live from New York for the Grammys.
Speaking of the Grammys, by the way, multiple Grammy winner Jack Antonoff is going to be joining us in studio 1 hour from right now. Musician, singer, songwriter, producer. He is up for the Album of the Year Grammy this weekend, Kevin. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
For writing and co-writing and co-producing the Lorde album, Melodrama. So Jack is going to be sitting in his seat, possibly winning the Album of the Year wow. Grammy this weekend. And he's coming by to see us in a little bit. I'm very excited about that. All right, we mentioned we are in New York. There's a lot of stuff we want to do. I'm not sure if this is for me, but...
Oh, this is for you.
But Harry Hansen is... First of all, he's a very popular, very successful fitness trainer to the stars, to NFL players, to lots of people. Well-respected in the industry, but he has debuted something new at his place at Hansen Fitness, which is nude workouts. I feel like we have a lot of questions for Harry, and let's welcome him to the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Harry, how are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show, guys.
Sure. It is our pleasure. You know, we came from California, and I got to tell you, we do not love the 25 degrees that greeted us this morning when we walked out of our hotel.
Yeah, it's cold here. It's cold.
It certainly is. Now, I didn't oversell it by saying you are a celebrity trainer, right? Rihanna, a bunch of people you've worked with, correct?
That's correct.
And you run your own fitness place here in New York.
Yep, that's correct. 32 years.
32 years?
Wow.
So when did the light bulb go off over your head and you thought, hey, you know what fitness is missing is nudity?
That's funny. Actually, not that long ago, because I run a very, very high-end personal training business here, but I had several women approach me about a nude fitness class and celebrating the beauty of the naked body. And all the restrictions and constraints that humans go through in their day-to-day lives in New York. And wouldn't it be liberating and a wonderful experience to share this in a naked fitness class? So I bought into it. And
Harry,
that's how it started.
No woman said, wouldn't it be liberating if we're just flopping around? Can you teach me? Harry, this was your
around.
Idea. Come on.
No, this was not my idea. But it's a good idea.
Okay, hold on now. Hold right there. So what kind of a workout do you do when you're nude?
It's not high intensity, right?
Nah, there's no jumping around. That's the thing is, I auditioned a whole bunch of group instructors, well-known group instructors, to audition. Mm-hmm. And we put together a program where there's not down-facing dog, like in yoga.
Good.
And you're not doing sprawls and jumps and everything's bouncing around. It needs to be in an elegant, sophisticated way where you're still getting in a great exercise.
If I
If I'm on a treadmill, I mean, I got bruises on my chest and my ankles. Oh, I mean, I really I'm really having a tough time
TMI.
Now.
TMI. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Harry, you've told us what's not part of the nude workout. What is part of the nude workout?
So, basically, I don't want... I'm very big on hygiene, and so a lot of people have been asking me about hygiene. So, I make sure that you're not getting down on the mats and you're not exposing yourself in any way. So we do a lot of squatting, a lot of lunging, and a lot of abdominal work and various things using the upper body. But the legs are together. The body's not bent over. You're not contorted in any strange positions. I'm very aware of that. And lighting is critical. We use amazing lighting, so all parts of the body are revealed.
And by amazing lighting, I hope you mean the entire session is in pitch black darkness. I mean, that's the only way I would do it.
Now, are these men-only classes, women-only classes, or is it co-ed?
It's co-ed, and I'm telling you, a lot of women are loving this.
Harry, be honest. 99% of the people there are men.
I'm being honest. It's 50-50.
It's not 50-50!
But how do you prevent the guys who are just signing up for the class to perv out?
They are not perving out because I got 85 security men standing around watching them.
Do you call them the boner police?
I saw movement. Take them out.
Get them out.
So how many people in an average class, Harry?
No, so we had a first class. It was very small, and it was 10 people. And we brought in the first 10 people that joined. It was 4 women and 6 men. And believe it or not, 2 of the women came in with their husbands. The husbands signed their women up for these classes.
Boy,
all right,
this is weird.
And of course, I'm very nervous about a bunch of pervs coming in here and trying to do some crazy stuff, but it was not like that at all. So now we've got over 800 people. They're calling me still today wanting to know when we're running the next Naked Fitness class in New York, and we have 800 people wanting to sign up and pay for a class, so we're looking for a much bigger venue.
Speaking of pervs, do you have some type of a balcony, a viewing balcony?
No.
In other words, Kevin doesn't want to work out. He just wants to come and watch.
Yeah, he wants to work out.
That must be so surprising even to you, Harry, to hear of that level of interest in a nude workout.
Yeah, well, it is very interesting to me, and it's shocking that how many people actually want to do it. And I'm telling you, I mean, there was no perv stuff going on. That's my biggest worry. And
I mean, you sound like you're telling the truth. I'm inclined to agree. I mean, you are the expert. What do you guys think? You buying it?
I mean, yes, but there's got to be some people that just can't control themselves.
Because you know you, and you know there must be other people like you.
And there have to be some people who aren't necessarily the cleanest. There have to be some of those. Do you have to pull them aside and say, hey, maybe a shower or two?
Yeah, so what I'm very serious about beforehand, laying out the rules and regs of the class.
Right.
And if there's any deviation going on from any of that, you'll be pulled out of the class right away. So we make sure, and the other thing is there's just such a huge demand, the paperwork that they have to sign off, it really is outlining everything. And so they sign off, they kind of understand the rules and regs of how this class is going to run.
How much is one of the classes?
So we charge $50, which is high, and I've got people wanting to pay as much as $100 for this class. So that might cut a whole bunch of people away from that, but we're going to charge a lot of money for it.
Okay.
Harry, you like Harry it. Is not holding back. I love it.
That's,
I like
that. That's one way to determine that people are there for the right reasons, I guess. All right, so HansonFitness.com. You're doing this in New York now, just New York. Any plans to spread this across the country? Might we see this in our neighborhood at some point, Harry?
Yes, you might, because we are planning on scaling this thing and running a group fitness, like one in each major city.
Okay.
And some in major cities where people will hate it. I think that'll be a good idea, too.
Yes.
That's a great business plan, is go where the people hate what we're doing. All right, Harry, we know you're very busy. We appreciate you jumping on and talking to the Kevin Bean Show today, and we're happy to be here with you in New York. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. That was fun. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, we appreciate
bye-bye.
It. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're broadcasting live from New York City for the Grammys.
Just Bean speaking, I don't see Allie very often in person.
Mm-hmm.
She is one dramatic chipmunk. She is going through some stuff today on this live broadcast trip, right?
Listen, we met up early in the morning this morning, and I had a serious issue in the hotel room trying to get ready. I forgot.
No heat? No hot water?
No, had all that.
All your luggage was missing?
Nope, everything there.
Something, okay.
Yeah. I forgot my foundation brush, which is, women will understand this. It's the most important thing because this morning, you guys, I had to put on my foundation with my fingers like a goddamn animal.
Wow.
My coverage is awful.
When
right
my
now,
coverage is awful, I get
you.
On the plane and I go right
thank
home.
You.
It's not worth
spotty,
it.
Body, I look crazy. So I walk down to meet with Dave and Bean to walk over to the studio, and I'm like, you guys, I need to find a Sephora. I need something. We need it now. And they were like, calm
you,
down.
I mean this sincerely.
Yeah.
You look exactly the same as you usually wow. do, which is fine. You look good. You don't look like you've had some sort of makeup Armageddon.
Thank you, but I need a Trish McAvoy brush number 76. It's what I need.
What's happening?
What is happening?
It's very serious.
And it's unfortunate, too, because in New York, they don't really have those stores at all.
Nowhere to get it.
It's crazy.
All right, the things you learn when you travel with your coworkers, I guess. Jack Antonoff, who is nominated for, I think, 3 Grammys this Sunday night, is going to be joining us in studio from the band's Bleachers and Fun. Very excited to have him in here just after 8. First, though, we came across a story that surprised me, and I'll tell you why. If you have daddy's ashes, mommy's ashes, your brother's ashes, even your pet's ashes, mm-hmm. I would think that is something you would treasure.
Yeah,
something
of course.
That would be, if you went to all the trouble to not put that person in the ground, but have that person cremated so that you could have a little piece of him or her to carry with you for the rest of your
for
life.
Sure.
As a memory. That's something you would not lose track of. Apparently, ashes of loved ones are frequently misplaced.
But you guys know what it's like to have something that you really... Real, it's important to you, mm-hmm. and you misplace it all the time. You can't find it. You can't figure out what happened.
I would agree with you if you're talking about your phone, something that goes in lots of different pants or coats, and you travel with it and you put it in a car. But grandpa
goes in pants and coats and cars.
No, you put them.
Oh, you don't. Okay,
he's on the mantle.
You put them on the mantle. Like my father-in-law is on the mantle in my house, and that's where he always is, mm-hmm. and that's where he'll always be, and I know where he is. I'm not going to lose Howard,
no.
okay? I'm just not going to lose him.
My friend Kate, same thing. She only takes her dad off of the mantle during the Super Bowl and when the Steelers are playing, because that was her connection with her father.
That's This Is Us. That's not your friend Kate. That's a TV character. That's This Is Us.
Okay.
Listen to this story about ashes somehow that ended up...
Kevin goes, I had no idea.
Joe Bean said it, I was like, wow, Allie has a friend that's weird, but it's sweet in a way.
Listen to this story, and this is not the first time this has happened at this thrift store. You won't believe it.
Jessica Cranford processes all kinds of donations at Goodwill in Thomasville.
I think his words was, you're never going to believe what I found.
Cranford, who's part of a training program, says a coworker found this seasoning bottle with the words, Dad's Ashes, written
all
across
right, let
it.
Let me stop right there. Let me stop right there. Putting it in a seasoning bottle?
Not a good move. maybe can go wrong.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Right.
Perhaps an urn would be more appropriate. Something that would be more of a reminder what's
right.
in it.
Not rather a than Mrs. a Mrs. Dash bottle.
Right, exactly. Because now all of a sudden it's just in the back of your pantry. Right? All right, let's go on.
It also had the name Missy written on it.
He doesn't belong here. He needs to be with his family.
So Cranford volunteered to take the ashes home.
We need to get this out in the open, out in public, try to find who these remains belong to.
She posted a picture of the bottle on Facebook with her phone number, along with when and where it was found.
So far, I haven't had any luck finding where he belongs, but I'm not going to stop trying.
Oddly enough, Icorn says they've found ashes before.
Well, over 15 years, we probably have had this happen 3 times.
What?
3 times?
What?
What's happening?
How do you think... The only thing I can think is the person who was the steward of the ashes maybe passed away and somebody just came in and cleaned out their whole house and donated a bunch of stuff to Goodwill. Like somebody who had no idea what it was.
Possible, yeah.
Maybe. Because otherwise, I don't know how you lose Grandpa.
No.
So, have you lost Grandpa is the question. We want to hear from you, the Kevin and Bean listener, if you have misplaced your loved one's ashes. That's the topic on the table at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. We already got one email from listener Jenna, who writes to us from Torrance. We had cremated my grandpa and used his ashes to plant a tree. My grandmother put some ashes for each of us in little Tupperware containers. The tree planting was not local, and after a couple of days after we got home, it occurred to me that Grandpa was missing. He was missing for 3 years. We assumed he was in the house somewhere, and I just referred to him as my wayward grandfather. Fast forward, I was cleaning out my car as I was getting ready to sell it, and I came across the little Tupperware had been tucked in the trunk. Grandpa had been in her trunk.
Grandpa's in the trunk. Come on, people.
For 3 years. I am sure that would have been a nasty surprise for the person who ended up buying my car. Yeah, you wouldn't expect to find that in the trunk. Grandpa now resides in my home mausoleum. Who has a mausoleum in their home, by the way?
Yeah.
How many bodies does he have? Does he have buried?
What's going on with Jenna?
Man, oh, man.
So that's what we're looking for. What happened to the ashes of a loved one? How did you misplace or give them away or lose them? What's the story? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock. Hey, we're live from New York City, you guys. We just found out that it is there's a rash of people losing their loved ones. Their ashes go missing. How does that happen? How do you lose grandpa? That's the topic we're talking about here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get right back to the music with Vampire Weekend after we hear from Veronica. She is in Ontario, up first, line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Veronica, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. By the way, there. I'm driving on empty, Kevin.
Zero club.
Nice. Nice work. Who did you lose?
Okay, so my mom was going on and on about how her garage was just filled with so much sentimental stuff, needed to go through it, have a yard sale, finally go over there, sit down for the weekend, start going through all the stuff, open the garage, start just having a yard sale, pulling stuff out of the garage. The lady comes up and she's like, "This is a beautiful box, what's in it?" And my mom literally jumps and she's like, "Oh yeah, we can't sell that, that's grandma." Okay, so it's been in the garage the whole time and almost got sold at a yard sale. That's awesome. Way to hold on to sentimental stuff.
How does somebody just stash it away in a garage?
Look,
that's crazy.
I don't know how it works in your family, Veronica, but my mom passed away a few years ago, and my dad has her in a closet. She's not on display. She's in a maybe he just didn't want her to see all the babes that he's bringing
right?
over.
That's what I think. He doesn't want her to be jealous.
I don't want mom looking down. But Veronica, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We're taking your calls. You lost someone's ashes. 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from New York City. Ready for the Grammys.
Minutes away from Ali and What's Happening, and then Jack Antonoff will be here, Grammy Award-winning singer, musician, songwriter, producer, up for the Album of the Year Grammy for his work on Lorde's Melodrama this weekend. So very excited about Jack coming up. First, though, we're talking about you lost your loved one's ashes. We'll get right to Brian in Van Nuys in 1 second, but listen to this email, Ali. This one's really for you. Mm-hmm. Michelle writes in from San Jose. So my grandma's ashes were given to me in a small makeup container.
Oh no.
See where this is going?
A nice blush.
No. One time when I was stoned and doing my makeup, I started using it on my face.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. Needless to say, I only have a small amount of ashes left. Yes, I washed my face immediately once I realized I wasn't getting any foundation coverage. Grandma, you let me down here. The message here is don't put ashes in a makeup container. Well, I think that's
amazing.
That's pretty good advice. All right, let's get Van Nuys' Brian on line two, please. Chip on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brian, thank you for calling. What happened?
Hey, guys. It was actually my oldest friend. When I moved to town, I met him when I was 6 years old. About 2 years ago, he passed away in a cliff diving accident.
Oh, no. Oh.
And at his funeral, it was a huge funeral. The guy was very, very awesome guy, very popular. And they had about 30 little containers that they handed out to his closest friends and said, take these camping with you and spread them. Gary was an outside guy. So I have an old Honda, and I was buying a new Nissan and left the ashes in the Honda.
Right.
Bye-bye, friend.
You left them in the Honda.
Yeah, I left them when I was dealing. I was so excited because it was literally the first car I'd ever bought on my own. Uh-huh. My parents would always help me out, so I was all excited. I threw everything in the bag. About a week later, I look in the bag, there's no ashes.
That is a lot of respect for your dearly departed cliff diving friend.
Right?
Thank you for the call, Brian. We appreciate that. By the way, speaking of extreme sports, did you guys see that Warren Miller died? How many times did we do those K-Rock screenings all those years of all those unbelievable Warren Miller
25?
Movies? Yeah. He passed away yesterday at 93 years old. All right, let's go to Wendy, Denver.
I apologize for just calling him the ski guy.
Line four. He was a very successful
prolific,
documentarian.
Yes.
Exactly, yes. Did a lot for action sports. So, hey, Wendy, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
What a do, Matthew.
What a do. Who'd you lose?
Granddad.
How did it happen?
To call-
Well, I was moving to Colorado, and about a year after he died, everybody got like a brick of his ashes. And so in the move, it was a little crazy, and I kind of lost them. And about a year later, I was finally getting settled, getting rid of everything. And there was Granddad in my sweater drawer.
And then
a year after I moved to Denver, my dog passed away, and I got her ashes, and I wasn't sure what to do with them. I wanted, you know, plant them under a tree or something. And I thought, well, I know where Granddad is. I'm going to put her ashes there, so I've got my dog and my Granddad in my sweater drawer.
I mean, is it still a compliment to Grandpa that he's in there with your dog?
Well, I mean, it's like really close to where I sleep at night. I got a picture on my nightstand. You know, he's always in my heart.
Your dog, we're talking about, right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call, Wendy. Appreciate that.
Sweaters are cozy. I think that's a lovely place.
That's a nice eternal resting place, right? Let's go to Mike Santa Clarita, please. He is line three up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about misplacing your loved one's ashes. Hey, Mike, what happened?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good. I was helping a friend who used to be part of the Irish Republican Army. Moved some stuff out of his house. He was a biker, and I picked up a box that thought I had a motorcycle helmet in it, and out dropped a bag of ashes everywhere. And this huge 6'4" guy looks at me, and he started his explicitives. And I didn't know what to say. He walked out. He comes back in with a vacuum cleaner, and he said, "Here,
all right, okay." That's a little IRA sense of humor right there.
This is a true story. He vacuumed it up, and he had me help him roll the rug up that it had all fallen in, and we pitched it out the window.
You know, we were talking about people losing their loved ones. I guess I wasn't expecting somebody who would drop them, and they're scattered to the wind like that.
True.
I mean, that's another way to lose them, I guess. Thank you, Mike, for your colorful story. We appreciate it. Let's try Chris Orange. Similar problem holding on to the ashes. Welcome to the show. Line one, please.
Hello.
Yeah,
hey,
Chris.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
You're on the air. What's up, sir?
I used to live up in Northern California for a few years, and I was down here in Orange County visiting my mother with my girlfriend, and we were sleeping on the living room floor on an inflatable mattress. And my mom has an antique radio that she keeps in the living room, and that's where she also keeps my great grandmother bench. And it's a little tiny urn. I guess when someone passes away, they can, like, everyone in the family gets their own little cut of grandma or however it works. But,
I want her head.
Have a little grandma.
And so she gets up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom and stumbles across the floor and runs into the radio and knocks grandma off the radio, and it hits the wall and just explodes everywhere.
Oh. Well, it's not bad enough that grandma died. Now she has to be involved in this nonsense.
Well, I'm sure she would have thought it was hilarious had she still been alive to see something like that. But I'm not sure if you're aware, but when you get ashes, it's not like completely ashes. It's like you got little tiny crunchy bits still in there.
Oh, okay. Oh. And we're done.
Oh.
And we're out.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris. Bye, everyone.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live from New York City for the Grammys today and Monday as well.
Let me just say this, guys, but ahead of Ali's What's Happening. Matt Lauer out on the Today Show. Beer mug in.
Yeah!
I'm the new guy. I'm the new guy.
Right?
Mugs.
Delivering the news, you know, all the breaking news that hits New York City, I'm their guy.
Now,
for
folks who don't watch daytime morning TV.
Which is mugs, clearly.
the Today Show, like all of the Good Morning America and the CBS This Morning, they have a Manhattan studio that is surrounded by glass. And people can walk by out on the street and look in, and you can see them on the television while you're watching it.
Sure.
And as I understand, if you tune into KNBC Channel 4 right now and throughout the rest of the Today Show, there's a very good chance you'll see Muggs standing in back of Carson Daly.
Wow.
I say I was probably made a cameo about 85% of the show.
What? About that?
Yeah.
85% of the show.
I posted up. Well, it's funny because we got there like super early at 5 a.m., which is 2 on the West Coast. So, I mean.
By the way, just for the record, Mugs can't talk about time ever without mentioning what time it is in Los Angeles.
I have to. As if it's relevant.
Right.
But the Today Show doesn't start until 7 a.m. New York time.
Right.
But I was there at 5?
What time is that in Los Angeles?
That's 2. But I didn't know what the process was. I thought a lot of people would be getting there to line up early, and I had to stake out a good spot to get on the camera.
I see.
Okay.
So that was we succeeded with that, and I posted up in this spot every time they went to Hoda and Savannah. I was on with my big neon sign that was addressed to Carson.
Okay,
and
what did the sign say?
The sign said, "Carson, thanks for the tacos," and I wanted to thank him for tacos that he had brought in about 10 years ago when he came into K Rock. They were so delicious. I haven't seen him in a while.
Can you imagine people like in Nevada going, "Carson, thanks for the tacos." What's happening?
No idea. I think even Carson maybe even saw it and was like, "What the hell?"
Yeah, of course.
But
that homeless guy outside the window.
Yeah, it was free. It was so damn cold. My extremities were starting to freeze.
Hey, Muggs.
Yeah,
all of them.
All of them.
Okay,
all
gotcha.
Of them. Being.
All right.
And I got yelled at by the security twice.
All right.
Twice. They almost threw me out.
Good.
Because I almost hit one of the guys in the head with my sign.
Oh, no.
Well, that's on you. Stop acting like they're abusing you somehow. They're hitting people in the head with a sign.
It was clearly an accident. But the funny thing was, I about an hour after I was standing there, clearly on camera for the show, the guy who was in charge of reading the signs, he's like, "Hey, did anybody read that guy's sign? Anybody check that, make sure what it says?"
Yeah, no kidding. Because, you know, the college game day, people are always bringing down horribly offensive signs trying to get them on TV.
You should have put underneath "thanks for the tacos," you should have put, if you know what I mean.
Well, listen, here's the mission for our Kevin and Bean listeners. Please do us this favor. Turn on the Today Show and say, would you please send us a screen cap of Beer Mug on TV? Because we can't see it where we are.
Correct, yeah.
So you can tweet it to us or put it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page or whatever.
Especially if, like, he's getting roughed up by a security guard or something. That's best case scenario. Yeah.
We want to see Mugs on national television. So if you would send us that screen cap, we would very much appreciate it. All right, 7:53 Friday morning. Allie is here. What is happening?
Well, we had some new Mike Shinoda music last hour. How about a little 30 Seconds to Mars?
What? They're back already?
Unbelievable. Yeah, they released a new single called Dangerous Night, and apparently written by Jared and Shannon. And we don't know when their new studio album's coming out, sometime in 2018, but they released a song yesterday. Here's a little bit of Dangerous Night. See you on a cross. That is 30 Seconds to Mars.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Very 30
Nailed
Seconds to
Mars-y.
I like it.
Yeah.
I just answered and my mic was off, just for the record.
Well, who's in charge of that?
Me.
Oh, okay.
I was talking like this. I was like,
oh, yeah, that's what it is.
You are a gift. You certainly are. Well, I'm glad that Muggs is in here because we have a challenge for you.
Oh.
There is a bar called The Continental. It is in New York's East Village, and they have banned the use of the word literally its establishment.
They've literally banned it?
Literally. They say it's the most overused, annoying word in the English language. Here is the song that they have displayed at the bar. Sorry, but if you say the word literally inside Continental, you have 5 minutes to finish your drink, then you must leave. If you actually start a sentence with "I literally," you must leave immediately. This is the most overused, annoying word in the English language, and we will not tolerate it. Stop Kardashianism now.
I got to say, I'm a heavy offender of the using that word. I'm
going to defer. By the way, there's nothing wrong with the word literally if you're using it correctly.
Or if you're overusing it, that's also annoying. Use it correctly.
Sure.
Don't use it too much.
Right.
Yeah. But we're going to have to try this. You're going to have to go to the bar and you have to try it.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, the owner's name is Trigger Smith.
Uh-oh.
What?
I don't like
triggered.
What he's got behind the counter.
I don't know. Wow. I am all about this.
Mike just had a good run.
Yeah. He said it's not just millennials. Now you hear newscasters using literally every 3 minutes on the Sunday news shows. What's annoying is people aren't even aware they're saying it. How could you be so unaware of your words when it's coming out every couple of minutes? Triggered.
Yeah, wow. Take
that. He is.
He should not be interacting with the public.
He is
Mugs,
not.
Mugs, take him some edibles.
Yeah.
He needs to. He needs to chill out.
It's a good idea.
I literally didn't understand a word of that.
So if you say literally, you've got 5 minutes to finish your drink. But if you start a sentence with...
I literally.
get the F.
But what if you say, I literally hate the word literally?
Ooh.
Then the guy goes, oh, you're one of my people. Yeah.
He's like, I'm Trigger. Nice to meet you.
That's literally the least you can do.
Literally. You guys, divorces. Very expensive. Sometimes can cost you tens of thousands of dollars.
You don't have to tell Kevin and Bean about this.
Okay.
Between the two of us, we have seven divorces.
We know all about it, Allie. Go on.
Very creepy. Well, now there's an app for that.
Muggs is paying attention to funny. Yeah. Go ahead. I mean, let's just hear what the lady has to say, Muggs.
Sure, sure.
Wait, an app?
Knowledge is power.
Did you say there's an app for that? Trying to move on? The only person here trying to move on?
What is,
hey,
what is happening?
Is there an app that can handle that for you?
Prominent divorce attorney Laura Wasser has launched a new website called itsovereasy.com. So you can hash out issues like child custody, support, property division, and more. And it's only going to set you back $750 plus court costs. You can talk to an attorney for 30 minutes. And you can get referrals for counselors, that type of thing. So what you could be spending thousands of dollars on, she makes it really easy at itsovereasy.com.
Well, I'll let my good friend know.
Will you?
And yeah. is that available now? It's already up and going?
I think it is, and sure. I think that is a good idea. Look, there has
Did
been
you write that down, Muggs?
Oh, yeah, for my buddy.
For your friend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So many things that you have to use an attorney for are incredibly expensive, yeah. And more people are looking for ways to incorporate their business or to mm-hmm. buy a house or whatever it is, and they're trying to figure out a way to kind of cut out that expensive middleman and do it more affordably. Why not for divorce? And it sounds like if you do it on the app, maybe there's a way you and in your case, Muggs, your wife, let's say hypothetically, you guys
His friends, your wife,
wouldn't have to talk to each other personally. You could just kind of do it through the app. You know what I mean? Which I think would save a lot of heartache for your friend.
Yeah. Hopefully he can work it out.
Right?
This is awkward.
This is literally awkward.
Well played.
All right. Some birthdays for you. Ellen DeGeneres, Eddie Van Halen, and Wayne Gretzky. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I think we're on.
Oh,
hold on.
Is that how we're doing?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show live from New York City for the Grammys.
I had a big intro planned, and I feel like we shattered it with our incompetence. And now, what's the point?
Well, take two. If you want to start over, take two.
That's a song by Bleachers here on the world-famous K-Rock. Jack Antonoff, a man in that band, Grammy Award-winning singer, musician, songwriter, and producer. Welcome to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, sir.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy you guys are in New York.
Well, so are we. We're happy to be here. And I have to tell you, I was thinking about this because you played Acoustic Christmas a couple years ago with Fun.
Yeah.
And you played the Weenie Roast a couple years ago with Bleachers. Yet, for some reason, we've never had the opportunity to meet you before. This is the first Kevin and Bean appearance of Jack.
But you guys are at all those shows, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's our station, our show. But, like, you talk to Stryker and guys like that. But
why don't you come around?
Because dicks.
We're dicks. We're basically lazy, Jack.
I think what it is you've just allowed me in now. You know, because you're like the Holy Grail, right?
Are we?
Oh, that's us. Sure it is.
Isn't that the vibe?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how not true that is.
I mean, I got in the door.
He's just picking up the vibe. He is, throwing it out.
All right.
That's what's happening.
So this is a big weekend for music lovers. Obviously, the Grammys, the biggest show in town, is going to be Sunday night, the 60th anniversary of the ceremony and the awards here in New York City for the first time in 15 years. That's why we're here. When you're a little kid, being a music lover as you were, the Grammys are the furthest thing from your mind. That's on your radar. That's not something you dream about,
stupid.
Is it?
It's impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
So what was
not even close.
And how many Grammys have you won now, Jack?
Three.
Three? Question mark?
And what's
how many times have you been nominated?
I won the Kevin and Bean Award for for best sandwich.
What did that feel like when they called Fun's name for the best new artist Grammy? Well, tell me what that feels like.
Okay, all jokes aside.
Yeah. Yes.
There's very few things that happen in your life where you think, well, no one could take that, no matter what happens.
Right.
The first time I had that feeling in my career was when I had my first CD. I didn't have a label or anything, but we pressed a CD, and I thought, okay, if the world explodes or if I never write another song, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, I made
a thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get that feeling every time you write a song, but then there's these things. They're like almost like grandma things. That's how I categorize them.
Grandma
like
things.
Things your grandmother would be proud of.
Okay.
Like if I go to Iowa and 1,000 people come to the show, that really, that's what I want,
right?
But it doesn't mean anything to my grandmother,
right?
If I'm on Conan O'Brien's show,
yeah,
that's something she can tell her friends,
yeah.
So when they called the name and I we won that first one, I kind of had that like ultimate explosion of grandma feeling where I was like, no matter what happens, that happened.
That happened. Yeah. Nothing will change. That's cool.
You came up as a punk rocker?
Yeah.
Is that fair to say? You were on Drive Thru, right?
But even before that, there was an amazing scene in New Jersey. It was sort of post, you know, like hardcore in D.C. Mm-hmm. and then kind of drifted up the coast and it was a great vibe. Bands like Lifetime were happening in New Jersey, and in the late 90s, I started to become aware of it. And, you know, it started with, like, Fat Records and NoFX, and then it became local for me. And that's where I learned how to play music.
Would the 18-year-old Jack Antonoff have been stunned to see what you're doing today and the kind of music that you love today?
Well, I've always... It's weird. So I think I'm an interesting generation because I grew up in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. So I have no cynicism or anger towards the mainstream. Mm-hmm. Because when I was a kid, Kurt Cobain was the biggest.
Yeah, the mainstream was freaking awesome when you were a kid.
Smashing Pumpkins were putting out Siamese Dream. Pearl Jam was changing the world. Green Day was just happening. I loved Space Hog, and Weezer was making some of the best albums ever. So I'd turn on the radio, and I didn't have this feeling of like, oh, the world sucks.
Right.
I was like, this is an amazing time. Woodstock 94, I mean, look at that lineup. So then when music got really bad in the mainstream a couple years later, I had drifted away, and I was really into underground music, so I didn't care. Because I had stopped listening to what was going on in the mainstream, and I was only interested in stuff in New Jersey. And then when I started to drift back, I never had this. It's weird to be in like indie scenes and punk rock scenes, but also not have a hatred towards mainstream. I think that's like a very
brief, that is strange, yeah,
very brief thing. If you were lucky enough to be there from 91 to 95.
And we live in
which
a world.
You guys remember?
We sure do, yeah. And you live in a world now where your band Bleachers, for instance, can be on anyone's playlist. It can, a hip hop guy can love Bleachers, yeah, right? A hard rock guy can love Bleachers. I mean, I think it's healthy that all these categories have kind of bled together a little bit.
Well, I think it's just us admitting who we've always been.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, we've always been that way. You look at any, you know, I go through my parents' record collection, it's Coltrane, it's Blood, Sweat, and Tears, it's Nina Simone, it's the Beatles, everyone's always had this crazy playlist. I remember, and you know what, back to the early 90s, we kind of had that for a second too, where it was like, pop radio was like Snoop Dogg into Nirvana.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So Yeah, I think we're just getting a little bit closer to who we've always been.
There was a time, though, in the 90s where K-Rock was in a box, and if we played something outside that box, people would go crazy. It's K-Rock, it's not K-Rap, yeah. And we're very, very narrow.
It's K-Rock, it's not
right?
K-Rap.
And
we've
then
heard
we
had a million times, well, Jack.
Scenes were more of a thing.
Yes.
A lot of the kids I know nowadays, and just from being out there and playing, no one gives a crap.
Right.
When I was growing up, it was like, even New Jersey was like, are you into the Jersey hardcore scene, into the Jersey pop-punk scene, into the Oi scene? Into like the post-hardcore thing, like everything was very fragmented. And if you listen to this, you couldn't listen to this. And it was the same thing in mainstream music.
And that's when we started. We would play one song that's sort of outside that box, and people would freak out. And we'd go, you know what? You'll be fine. We'll get back to the Red Hot Chili Peppers in 1 minute. So listen to this song. It's pretty cool.
I remember that with Sublime. I remember my friends being like, "What is this? This sounds like pot music or something." Like,
well, that's pretty accurate.
They weren't wrong.
We want Bush. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think people are wide open.
Completely different.
When you write a song, Jack, in your mind as you're writing the song, do you envision what style of music that's going to be? Or is it a decision you make later once you've got the lyrics and the melody together to decide what kind of music it's going to be?
I think they're separate.
Okay.
So I think a great song is a great song. And if you don't have a great song, you got nothing.
Do you think a great song, this is just my opinion, and I don't know, a great song could be performed in any genre? If it's a great song,
absolutely.
You could do it punk, I think you could do it light rock, you could do what, country?
Ultimate example of that is Johnny Cash doing Hurt by Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, true.
And we see it over and over again where a song gets redefined and you realize that the music and the lyrics and the sentiment, I mean, production is also everything.
Because of course.
That's the moment when you take a feeling and you actually match it with a sound, and that's the ultimate magic. So, you know, when you hear, you know, like anything, any great moment, you think of Smashing Pumpkins, Tonight, the sentiment of that song and matching it with that huge orchestra. And
right.
The orchestral drums is perfect. If you did it any other way, it wouldn't do it justice. But they are separate, and you don't want to, without both, you're just missing something.
Mm, yeah.
when you go into that home studio, and I feel like I've been a fly on the wall in that studio so much because you've allowed a lot of access.
Yeah, I want people to feel like they can see where it happens.
When you go in there, do you just go in there like a guy would go to a job with his head empty and just sit down and start noodling around or start writing something down and just and look for inspiration to hit you? Or is it just hard work and you just grind through it until something starts to show itself?
It's both. I mean, the truth is when I go in there, I think the best way to describe it is that it's a very powerless process, which people don't...
You say powerless?
Powerless. They think it's this, all like candles and heroin, I think, is the right. idea that film and television is...
I hope you've written a song called Candles and Heroin. That's a good title.
Got my new single, guys. Candles and Heroin. But no, you're trying to like capture these feelings. So you go and you sit and you mess around and you just... touch this keyboard, maybe that'll spark a feeling, write something down. It's you're just trying to grab it, and you spend your life in there trying to find it, and you just wait for those little moments.
I think that's what we're most fascinated with. You can find good singers, you can find good production, but the people who can take nothing except for a feeling and turn it into a song is, that's magic.
It's magic.
That's always what I've cared about the most. Like, I've never cared too much for, like, for example, like singing competition shows, like
right.
my mom will watch it and I'll be like, who cares? They're great. Lots of people can be great. Or
right.
like watching some amazing drummer or guitar player on YouTube, it's like it feels more attainable than the insane magic of capturing a feeling.
Right. And you also think about your favorite artists and you go, my favorite artist would never make it on American Idol.
That's
or
no.
on this show or whatever
you
it is.
You can't meet Tom Waits on American Idol. They'd be like, that's they would like laugh him out of the
He'd be one of the ones in the early season where they would make fun of him.
But that's the irony of that is all my favorite singers, I call it style singer versus singer.
Mm-hmm.
We all like style singers.
Agreed.
You know, we think we like singers, which is like someone that'll like blow your face off with their talent, but it's so much more exciting to hear like Leonard Cohen mumble over a track or like, you know, Trent Reznor.
Yeah, agreed.
You just want to hear a distinct voice.
Yes. Before we take a break, Jack Antonoff is here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. By the way, nominated for 2 Grammys this Sunday, including Album of the Year
Not
for
bad.
Your work with your friend Lord on the album Melodrama.
It's 2 more than us. I'll tell you that.
You guys didn't get any this year?
No, we got none. We are snubbed.
We got shut out. Do, right?
We usually get about a dozen.
About a dozen?
What is, maybe we'll say this when we come back. Is there an answer to this question? A song that you are most proud of having written? Is there an answer to that?
Yes.
Oh.
And we'll reveal it when we get back.
Yes.
Oh.
Nice.
We'll be right back on K-Rock.
In New York City for the Grammys, I always feel lesser than when we're with somebody talented.
I know.
I always feel like I'm just a slug.
You are just a slug.
Okay. That's accurate.
Jack Antonoff is our guest here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. You get dressed up to go to the Grammys when you're nominated, like you might end up on TV Sunday night?
Yeah. I like
put on a suit?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't mind putting on a suit. First part of my life went to a ton of bar mitzvahs.
Okay.
Got to wear a suit a lot from 17 to 27. No one ever asked me to put a suit on again. So now it's fun. Yeah.
Take your mom or take a date?
I'm taking my sister.
Oh, good for you.
Which is somewhere, it's in between.
In between, yeah. Right, exactly. Don't date your sister, Jack.
I'm not going
to. He didn't say date. He's just taking it to the Grammys.
We asked before the break because you're a guy who has written and co-written dozens of songs that our audience loves and knows. Is there one you are prouder of than any other?
Outside of any Bleacher song. So you're talking about a co-write song?
Sure.
The song I'm most proud of outside of anything that is mine is the Lord's on Greenlight.
As well you should be, my friend.
So good.
That was literally my favorite song of last year.
Yeah. The specific reason is there's songs that I mean the world to me that I've done, but that song makes so little sense the way it was constructed and happened by such a series of accidents.
What does that mean? How?
It's just like the way the chords work, like when it goes into that sort of like almost like Euro disco-y part.
Right.
There's an interesting chord change that shouldn't work but does.
Oh, that's strange.
And there was no reason, there was no inspiration for it. There was no we should. It came from nowhere. And
is it you and Lord in a room just throwing words at each other and seeing if something is worth writing down to put in the verse?
We were just sitting in my studio and just started piecing that thing together. I kind of don't even really remember how it happened.
It's alchemy is what it is.
But
she's an old soul, isn't she?
It's goddamn magic.
But the other one that I'm actually kind of insanely proud of, also she worked on with me too, which is Don't Take the Money. But all that happened in this kind of, and maybe that's the reason why I feel so much pride too about those songs, is they came from this very organic place. Because sometimes you have a song you want to write.
Right.
And then sometimes the song just happens.
Are you guys impressed with how reserved I have been, how cool and how calm I have been to not even bring her up yet?
Yes. Please don't. Let's talk about Lorde some more.
No, no,
let's talk about Lorde some more. We love Lorde. Let's talk about her some more.
Let's talk about Bean.
Let's not, because then he's going to talk about...
Let's learn about Bean, because at the end of the day, right, the audience knows the voice, but do they know the real Bean?
The audience knows exactly what Bean's about to ask.
Look, let me just, by way of introducing...
I have some questions for you guys.
Say, you know how, when you have a friend who's into somebody,
yeah,
but they're way too into them.
Like a celebrity or like a singer.
Let's say a singer. Okay. So,
whoever are you thinking of?
So they talk about him nonstop.
Because they love.
Right, but the rest of us don't love as much, so then all of that conversation makes us turn on that person.
Jack, I've turned them against Taylor Swift is what Kevin is saying.
Like, I didn't care before.
Because I'm a crazy...
He won't stop talking about her. Now I can't stand her.
I'm a crazy super fan. I always go to see her. I love her so much. Here's my phone case. Did you write this line on the back of my phone case, or did Taylor write that?
Taylor did write that, but I did do this.
I'm sorry, but the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now is what it says on my phone case.
So you're ruining her for other people?
Yes!
It's all love!
It doesn't matter. You're ruining her for us.
Does Bean have a history of ruining?
Of course!
Who else?
He's obsessive. He's obsessive, so whatever he's obsessed with, he won't stop talking about.
He has ruined the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
How
for
dare
me.
You? here's my Twitter avatar, too, Jack.
Oh, this is not a joke.
I
don't want to meet her.
Oh, really?
I don't want to meet her. I had the opportunity to. I've been offered the opportunity
to.
Well, here's the thing.
Explain to people Jack's connection with
your
her.
Your heroes will only disappoint you.
Yes.
But I hear that that's not the case with Taylor from everyone who's ever met her. They love her.
You know
they
who didn't disappoint me was Bruce.
You just met Bruce Springsteen.
No, I met Bruce Valanche. I tweeted that.
Okay.
Bruce Valanche.
That's a great poll.
Bruce Ben Bacharach from the Marietta Bamford show.
You just tweeted that you met Bruce Springsteen and your life will never be the same. How did it
happen? No, I tweeted. So, you know, when Chance the Rapper goes, I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to that, and so I tweeted, I met Bruce Springsteen, I'm never going to fail. Because that's my version.
Gotcha.
So Chance is Kanye from
How did
Bruce.
You meet Bruce?
I opened for Bruce. No, but I met him, I opened for him, and then this is crazy, I met him at the White House. Which
what?
Is a bizarre story.
Like, so you,
by the way, hold on. The old White House. Just to be clear.
All right, the real White House.
Yeah. Because actually, so the 8 years before this, I had been to the White House a number of times because Fun played on the lawn. Mm-hmm. Fun played the second inauguration.
Why was President Obama so into your band?
I never got the chance to
who
ask
knows?
Him.
Who cares?
Okay. Okay. Right. When they invite you, you go. Okay.
And I'm a real Biden head also. I like that guy.
Biden head.
And then I did... I do a bunch of work with LGBTQ charities. Mm-hmm. I have my own organization I work with, so I did a panel there for that, and then all that culminated. The last time I was there was this final party that Obama threw, which was
right, and he had Mr. Springsteen come and play for the White House staff.
I mean,
I remember that.
Yeah. Every one I've ever idolized in my life was in that room,
but
Bruce
crazy.
Is the number one, and so I actually had this funny experience where like. There were all these people that on any given day I would like die to even be in a room with, and I was just like, get out of my way, like make room, like Bruce is there. Like, move.
Now, were you afraid to meet him because don't meet your heroes?
No, I had met him before.
You had
Fun had opened for him in Dallas, so I'd met him twice, and he's you know what? And I think you could say the same about your hero.
Mm-hmm.
If your hero is not doing a bit or an act, then it's good to meet them. Because that's why I've always loved Springsteen my whole life is because he's writing about his flaws, he's discussing his flaws, he's discussing his triumphs, he's painting a picture of a whole life, all the horrible.
That's the same exact same reason why I like Dave Grohl, and he's the exact same thing, which is he will not disappoint.
And have you met him?
Yeah, of course, many times, and he's great.
But here's the question we always – this is a conversation we often have on this show because, Kevin, you've been in this situation so many times where you've run into somebody you admire and you just feel like
yes.
I have nothing to say that is going to be useful, worthwhile of that person's time.
I like this person so much I don't want to waste their time with whatever nonsense I can come up with saying. You know what I mean?
It's when I say thanks, though. I say that to people all the time.
Thanks.
Like I met John Donnerall from the Mountain Goats.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, thanks for the songs. I feel like people get really like obsessed with like having to say something quote unquote worthy. Like my cousin went to blah 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 and married someone who's from New Jersey to me. And I'm like, I don't care. Like millions of people from New Jersey. Like it's so much cooler.
But when you say thanks to Bruce, though, he's heard that a billion times.
No. But my opinion of that is people like him. All thanks is never a negative. Okay. Stuff I come up with to say is a negative, but if I would just take your advice and say thanks,
I like what you do, or it's, you know what's so nice is when people get specific. Like I saw something the other day who referenced like a deep cut on a new album of mine and talked about something in the production in it, and it was so cool.
Because you knew they were paying very specific attention to the stuff you did.
You get it.
Yeah.
You know, like, where on the flip side, if someone's like, it's that guy.
Right. What if I said to Mel Brooks, who's my hero, I really want to eat soup and watch Jeopardy with you?
I think that's awesome.
Right?
Because
he'd have to do it.
Well, no, I don't think he would do it.
but there's a difference between being awesome and actually following
the DNA of what you're saying is, your work makes me feel like we're friends.
Thank you.
That's what you're saying.
That's
wow, you say
saying.
That so much better.
Dr.
Than we
Jack
do.
Is in
yes.
session, you guys.
Yeah.
Can I get your phone number? Next time I meet like Magic Johnson, I'll go, what should
what
I say
I
to
say,
him?
Dude?
Oh, Magic's the coolest.
He is.
What did you but say I to bumped him, in, Kevin?
I bumped into him and I wasn't aware he was at the party I was at.
Okay.
So it was a complete surprise. I didn't have time to plan anything.
Really? Magic!
So I said, like this. You're great.
That's great.
No.
I think it's great.
I mean, he smiled and he walked by and I hated myself from that moment on.
It's a lot better than like in 1993. Yeah, I was true. At blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Keep it short, I guess.
My Uncle Joey saw you. Blah, 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 and I have a sign. Blah, blah.
Jack Antonoff, question. Now that you are so successful with so many different artists that
thanks.
You co-write and co-produce, and you are, but I'm just saying, is it hard for you to now pick from all the people that want to work with you because you only have 24 hours in a day? You can't work with everybody that wants to work with you at this point, right?
Well here's the weird thing that I always try to tell people, because if I ever like Google myself, which mm-hmm. is not something I do often, but if I do it, one thing I notice that everyone sort of paints me as like some sort of workaholic, and I actually don't do that much.
Oh. It seems like you do because your songs are all over whatever radio station I'm listening to.
Which I'm very grateful for. But
he's saying, I don't do that much, but everything I do is a smash hit.
All I do is win. Okay. Quality over quantity.
All I do is win. No, what I meant is it just lined up weird. So, like, it was Bleachers, Lord, St. Vincent, Taylor, and Pink this year. And everyone has this idea of like, everyone's like, how'd you do that 1 year? And it's like, I didn't. Like,
it just all came out.
Yeah. It all sort of crystallized at the same moment. But I get called by a lot of people, but I don't like to work with a lot of people. I really love working with Ella, and I really love Annie, who's St. Vincent, who's the best. Do you guys play records?
Yes.
And that New York song, by the way. So. Did you do that one?
Yeah,
that's
we worked
song.
On that album together. And so it's funny. It's you know, without saying what you said.
I knew you weren't saying that.
But it does. But it is funny when you. It's funny any time in life when you realize there's a vibe where you're like, well, it's actually not. I work like crazy, but I know tons of people who are just in sessions every day with tons of different people and grinding it out.
Right.
And I do a different thing, which is more like these deep personal relationships and. These long meditative, like in Melodrama took 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, Annie's record we were working on for a year. The Bleachers album took 2 years. They just happened to all come out at the same time.
What a year for Jack Antonoff. And you are going to be potentially winning the Album of the Year Grammy, which you've already won once before, right?
Yeah. And can I say something?
Yes, please.
When I was a kid and people would be like, it's an honor just to be nominated, I'd be like, shut up. But it really is.
Yeah, I can see that.
You don't think about anything
but
else.
If you
honestly,
don't,
I can see
but
that.
But if you don't win, you are a loser, though, just by definition, right?
I will be that.
You'll be that loser?
I would love to be that loser.
You'd be happy to be that guy?
You,
hey, if you're ever out in Los Angeles, would you stop by our studio?
Yeah.
We love talking music with you.
You know who so at your studio, there's a man who, he lets you in the gate.
Mm-hmm. Charles Connor.
He's a drummer.
The best
drummer.
He was in a very famous band, right?
He played for Little Richard.
Little Richard. Yeah. Okay, so every time I come to K-Rock, I see him.
He's a legend.
And it's so cool because, like, I'm sure you didn't plan it this way, but to have the person who lets you into K-Rock.
We didn't, and we could talk to him for hours.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also played for Sam Cooke and like 20.
Chuck Berry.
James Brown.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable the life that man has led.
But so, do stop by.
Yeah,
if
come
in,
see us.
Next time you're in town. I would love to talk about music.
Good luck on Sunday night.
Good luck in New York. Are you guys fending well? Do you hate it?
It's too cold here. We love it.
It's too cold here.
Love it.
I think it's a great city.
Bean hates to travel, so that's bad.
I'm happy to be here, but okay. It's just too cold. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
you can agree with that.
It's all good.
Bean his way across the country on a plane or a train.
Jack, good luck Sunday night. Come see us in L.A.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate your time today.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're broadcasting live from New York City for the Grammys.
Coming up, Allie will give us what's happening, and we'll tell you how Beer Mug made it onto the Today Show this morning, which was fun, right?
He was on more than Al Roker.
Yeah, he really was. He really was. And how fun was that having Jack Antonoff in here? What a delightful young man, and
I
so
like that you keep
talented.
Saying fun.
Well, he's from Fun and Bleachers, and I hope he wins the Album of the Year Grammy with Lord this
Absolutely.
Weekend. That would
we
be cool.
Tried to get him to thank us from the stage, but I'm not positive that's going to happen.
Yeah. Hey, this, I think, is a great idea. We spent some time on yesterday's show talking about the people who woke up from that 4.0 earthquake mm-hmm. that happened, Tribeca Canyon, remember?
Right.
And, Kevin, you brought to my attention earlywarninglabs.com. Is it possible that you could get some advanced notice of an earthquake to give you an opportunity to maybe get out from something that's going to fall on you or to kiss your ass goodbye, whatever you want to use that 30 seconds for? Is that technology even existing yet?
Right. And we've been told our entire lives it isn't possible.
You can't predict earthquakes. That's what we've been
told. Pets might sense it a couple of seconds before. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you don't have any option as far as earthquakes. And then there's an app that might warn you. And at first I thought that's impossible and ridiculous and a scam.
Well, let's find out. As I mentioned, it's earlywarninglabs.com. The app is called Quake Alert. There's not a single indication on my paperwork who we're going to speak with, but I think we do have somebody on the phone. Hello there.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey, what's your name?
Josh Basham. From
Josh, what's your participation in Quake Alert?
So, one of the founding members, and I'm also the principal investigator on a partnership with the USGS.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right, so you're working with Caltech and UC Berkeley and University of Washington, USC, all the rest, legitimate people who are scientists about coming up with this app. Now, Kevin said he's heard his whole life, and I have too, that this technology just doesn't exist. You just don't get warning that there are earthquakes. Is that different?
Yeah, you know, they've spent just a lot of time and a lot of money on updating the sensor network, right, so they can detect these earthquakes in real time. So you guys are right, you know, prediction. We still can't predict earthquakes, but what's cool now is that we can detect them super fast and then push out a warning in front of the earthquake, actually faster than that earthquake is arriving at locations. And ultimately, that's what we're able to do, right? The earthquake's happened, but we're just outrunning it.
I see. And how much time does it take from the epicenter of an earthquake until it gets to the furthest reaches that are people who are going to feel it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And the answer is it varies, right? The earthquake can be extremely big, and it can be felt in a wide area, or it could be one of the, you know, smaller earthquakes like we had around 2 a.m., that little 4.0 that we had, which was mm-hmm. just sort of an isolated area. We had about 30 users that were able to get an alert that would actually feel that earthquake, and they got like 11-second warning.
So you can set it to your location,
yeah.
Correct?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, can I then set it to, since we're in Southern California, there are earthquakes literally every day, and multiple times a day, little ones, can I set it? Listen, I don't want to be alerted unless it's a 5.5 or higher.
Exactly, yeah. So you're able to filter out all the small earthquakes if you don't want to get woken up.
That's amazing. On average, how much warning would a user of Quake Alert get?
You know, and that's another great question. You know, on average, we're seeing users getting somewhere from 10 to maybe 30 seconds. Best case scenario, with sort of what they call the big one, right, starting at the Salton Sea, downtown LA would get roughly about 57 seconds of warning.
Let me just go back and say 10 seconds for an earthquake warning would really, really be helpful, let alone 60.
Yeah, yeah. And when you start looking at kind of those longer warning times, you know, maybe over 15 seconds, 20 seconds, you can actually start thinking about sort of mechanical systems that you can stop. So we actually have a platform in place right now with LA Metro where we'll actually notify the train operators and actually slow and stop all the trains in Los Angeles if it's a big, deadly earthquake. Wow.
And that way, if it's a terrible, awful earthquake, you may prevent a derailment because of it.
Exactly.
Oh, how about that? Now, what do you think for the average person who's, for whatever reason, lots of earthquakes happen when we're asleep. The average person who gets this alert on his phone at 4:30 in the morning, what do you expect them to do with that 20 seconds?
Well, the goal is not to freak out, right? So ultimately what we want them to do is to take a second, look at the information that's delivered on the mobile application, and drop, cover, and hold on. That is the best possible thing that you can do.
I thought it was stop, drop, and roll.
That's for a fire, Kevin.
Oh, fire. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And the app is free, no ads, and available now?
So the app right now is in a beta.
Okay.
We're waiting for our final approvals to be able to release that out to Los Angeles this year. So we're really excited about that. We've been waiting kind of 4 years to be able to start releasing this out, and it's been in testing, and we're just
That's
so
fantastic news. Quake Alert, it's called, an earlywarninglabs.com. I have one more question for you, Josh, and we really appreciate you jumping on because this is fascinating and something that a lot of our listeners can really use. And that is, I know you can't predict an earthquake, but in general, how likely is it we're going to have another Northridge-size quake in our lifetime in Southern California, do you think?
So in our lifetime, right, let's say in the next 30 years, we have a 99.7% chance of having
Holy crap.
I should not have asked that last question.
That seems high, Josh.
Wow. Why did I ask that question? We were all having a good time. And
damn it, by the way, that answer is 100%, except for I don't want to say 100%.
Sorry to bring the bad news.
Now, what does the alarm sound like? What is that, what happens on my phone when there's an earthquake and the app goes off?
So we designed this to be able to try to give the person receiving the alert as much notice as possible. So we have an audible alert that plays. It tells the user how bad the shaking is going to be. Okay, then there's text on the screen that says the same thing, how bad it's going to be, but it also says how long they have until that shaking reaches their location.
Okay.
Then when they swipe open the notification, just like any other notification you get on your phone, the app opens up and it has drop, cover, hold on if it's a really bad earthquake. If it's a small earthquake, it'll tell you how bad the shaking is going to be, how much time you have, and some tips and everything to do in the event that it was a larger.
That may be the most useful because the paranoia that goes through people when you feel a little bit of an earthquake is you don't know how far away it is and you don't know how big it is.
Yeah.
And to know that it's only a 3.9 or whatever and it's not doing a lot of damage, that's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Josh, we were prepared to poke holes in your app, but I got to tell you, I can't find anything but positive.
We're trying.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you got all the right answers, my friend.
Hey, wait. What if there's a false warning? What if you're Hawaii and you're like, hey, ballistic missiles are coming, and then what do?
Well, you know what? That's another good question. Look, so that was human error, right? Ultimately, it came down to human error. Someone had a bad design, and they hit the wrong button. Luckily, we've eliminated sort of the human interaction with the system, and it's automated. Of course, we're relying on a bunch of sensors and telemetry and things that could possibly go wrong there. But, we're super confident that all the automated alerting and everything that we've built is super reliable. So we've eliminated that risk and or at least got it down to a manageable level where we
Fantastic.
Feel comfortable. Yeah,
I've got to look up telemetry.
I love it. Quake Alert is the app, earlywarninglabs.com. Josh, we appreciate your time. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have a great
Thank moment. You. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show live from New York City for the Grammy Awards.
Friday, just after 9, we do a little feature called Keep It 100, where you, the Kevin and Bean listener, get to decide what we play next. Any song you've ever heard, known, and loved on K-Rock. If we've still got it, we'll play it for you. The last 3 weeks, we played Not a Surf Popular, Andrew WK's Party Hard, and The Vines Get Free. All great choices. What do you have in mind for us to play? You can text us right now at 1-800-520-1067. We will keep it 100 coming up right after the top of the hour. Ali is here now. What's happening?
Despacito. We couldn't get away from that song this year, right? It's everywhere.
It was the biggest song of 2017, right?
Yeah, nominated for 3 Grammys. Mm-hmm. They will be performing it, but guess who won't be?
Justin's not going to be there?
Justin is not going to be at
that
the
song
Grammy
just got
Awards.
Better.
Things are just getting better and better, aren't they?
Because he doesn't habla, is that why?
No, this is his excuse. He said,
because remember, he doesn't know the words to his own song. Yeah, remember, he's the blah, 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 blah guy.
That is very true. He said he's not going to be at the Grammys or any other award show for that matter because he wants something to show for it. New music. He's working on an album now. So he doesn't want to go until he has something pretty much to promote, which is makes sense. But that song is up for 3 Grammys.
I know. That is weird. It is the biggest song of the year.
Let's not question this, you guys. Well, it's all good.
It seems a little selfish.
Really?
I mean, don't you think?
Absolutely.
That's your job at the Grammys, just come out and sing. Lorde needs to come out and sing Green Light. Justin needs to come out and sing Despacito. That's what you do when you're celebrating the music of the past year.
I agree, Bean.
Stupid Justin.
Damn it,
Being
Justin.
Outraged at Justin.
He is so mad at Justin. You guys, do we need a Charmed reboot?
I don't know. I mean, we've just been talking about Murphy Brown and Roseanne and Will and Grace. I mean, every show's coming back, and now it's what now? Charmed?
It's Charmed. Yeah, the CW has picked up a drama pilot for next fall, and it's a Charmed reboot. I don't know about that, but I do know this. ABC rebooting 1980s The Greatest American Hero? Yeah, that definitely needs to happen. Remember that show?
Barely.
He basically would put on the suit. He was a school teacher, and then the suit gave him powers to fight aliens.
But he didn't have the instruction manual for the suit, if I remember, so he was like bad at it.
Yeah.
Like he was a terrible flyer and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, in the new series, the heroine will be a 30-year-old woman from a traditional Indian-American family.
They're glorifying heroine? That's a terrible thing for a TV show to do.
E at the end.
They're taking heroin and E? That just sounds like a dangerous drug cocktail.
It's going to be a woman named Mira who gets the suit to protect the Earth. So, I mean, shenanigans are going to ensue.
And then, believe it or not, she's walking on air.
You can't.
I never thought it could you feel this way, be this way.
However,
what is it?
However it goes.
Sing it,
Bean.
For the kids listening that don't know it.
I don't know.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free.
Yep,
flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Kevin, do it.
Believe it or not, it's just me.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
I'm with you, lady.
That just happened.
Nominated for a Grammy this weekend, you guys.
Yes.
How about that? That recording.
It certainly is. Some birthdays for you. We've got Ellen DeGeneres, Eddie Van Halen, Wayne Gretzky. And that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show broadcasting live from New York City for the Grammys, but it is also still Friday morning.
And Friday, you know, means we want you to help us pick what song to play. It's time for Keep It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
It's always good when a listener calls up and requests one of my top five favorite songs of all time.
Well, we almost had some Galvanized by Chemical Brothers, which would have been a great choice
too.
Well, that was texter number 99, but 100 is our man Vince, who's in Santa Clarita, I understand. Vince, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks. How are you guys?
What is going on for your Friday? What's your weekend looking like?
Well, I'm on my way to work right now. Weekend, Monster Hunter World just came out, so I'm going to be hibernating in my house.
All right.
Good for you. By the way, can I just, I know this isn't the time to do this. Can I just lodge a protest that the Pro Bowl is BS and I miss football this weekend already?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't it suck like your first weekend in months where you don't have a game to be excited about? I don't like it. All right, back to you, Vince. We gave you the opportunity to ask for any song you've ever heard on K-Rock. If you want it and we've got it, we'll play it. What'd you come up with for us?
I came up with Head Like a Hole, Nine Inch Nails.
Kevin, are you so happy?
Come on, seriously, one of the greatest songs of all time.
All right, start that song, and you tell us why, Vince. Why this song? Why did you think you needed to hear this one this morning?
Well, my mom's been a long-time listener. I grew up listening to you guys as well, and that was always one of the songs I always remember hearing on your station.
That's one thing I know about Nine Inch Nails' Head Like a Hole is that moms can't get enough of it.
I remember mom banging her head. It was awesome.
We are happy to play it for you. It's Keep It 100 on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks, Vince.
Keep It 100.
Right? Come on, seriously?
Right? For Vince's
mom. Yeah. Vince's mom.
What's going on in that house of horrors? That is Keep It 100 for today. Vince from Santa Clarita. Outstanding choice. The Kevin Bean Show is live in New York City. The Grammys are this weekend. We're here today and Monday. And apparently, there are some things going on in New York this weekend that we don't even know about. But our friend Rudy Cisneros does. And he'll join us to fill us in. Coming up next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show live in New York City for the Grammys this weekend.
Can I say thank you to the many, 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 many K-Rock listeners who tweeted or Facebook photos of Beer Mug on the Today Show this morning?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So many people saw him on the TV with his little sign trying to embarrass Carson Daly. I love the fact that we sent Mugs out in New York at 6 o'clock this morning when it was 25 degrees and told him just to stand there all morning long so we could get him on camera.
And the beauty is he can't really say no.
He can't really say no.
It's perfect.
Because we only bought him a one-way ticket to New York.
Right.
So he's not going back. But anyway, thank you for everybody who sent us those photos. We posted them all over the social media if you want to see Muggs making a fool of himself on national TV. It is 9:37 Friday morning. We're live in New York. Ali is here. What's happening?
We're live in New York, but I want to give you guys something that you can see in Los Angeles. It is going down on March 23rd. It is Felipe Esparza.
Yay!
At the Novo. Why not? Let's give away two pairs of tickets. You're going to see him at the Novo on March 23rd. Let's
call
take
now.
Callers.
1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
I love you, too. Callers 20 and 21, like you said, 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to see Felipe Esparza on March 23rd at the Novo. Did you guys by chance see all of the hullabaloo about the cover of Vanity Fair yesterday?
Is this an issue that has like 20 people on it?
It does.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's got Tom Hanks, it's got Oprah.
Reese Witherspoon,
Reese
I remember.
Reese Witherspoon, everybody. Han Solo's up there as well. But the concerning thing yesterday was people saying, hey, why does Reese Witherspoon have three legs?
Is this bad photoshopping?
This is really bad photoshopping. It's insane. It just made no sense. But then this came out today. That they actually photoshopped someone completely off that cover. James Franco was on that cover as well.
Oops.
And this is the statement from a Vanity Fair spokesperson. We made a decision not to include James Franco on the Hollywood cover once we learned of the misconduct allegations against him. Dude was straight up photoshopped off the cover.
So
not sure why that gave Reese another leg.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is that a decision that they made that said, all right, we got this spot on the cover where James Franco used to stand, so let's just turn Reese Witherspoon into a tarantula?
Oh, well, no, because Reese even commented about how she was sitting on the arm of the chair of Oprah's chair and said, if you get a chance to cuddle with Oprah, you're taking it.
Right. And Oprah has three hands too, right?
She does in another picture. It appears that she has three hands. It is just altogether bizarre.
It sounds awfully janky for a magazine as well respected as Vanity Fair. Like, I feel like their art department should catch mistakes like that before they're issued on a cover.
They should be able to Photoshop better than me, and I'm a hack.
Yeah.
But Conspiracy Alley is going to rear her head. Did they do this on purpose? When would we ever be talking about a Vanity Fair cover?
But they make it janky? You think they go, yeah, let's make it janky so everybody will talk about it.
That's good for our brand.
If anyone should have three legs, it's Reese Witherspoon. She deserves a third leg.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, but I don't either, but she doesn't.
As somebody who's been accused of having a third leg my whole life,
please.
I don't think I like the direction of this conversation.
Lord.
My nickname in college was Tripod.
No, it wasn't. I'm sorry, kids that are listening. Hey, you guys, Mike Shinoda released a three-song EP titled Post Traumatic. This isn't Mike Shinoda doing Linkin Park. This is Mike by himself. And it basically addresses all of his feelings since the death of Chester Bennington. It's how he grieves. And it kind of goes through that whole process. And as we know, Mike has been super open about what he's going through, anxiety, what's coming next. And he really addresses it in these three songs, Place to Start, Watch as I Fall, and Over Again. And it really hones in on the anger that comes with it. Some of the stages of grief, you're mad. And then another stage of it is you're wondering, oh, what could I have done? What questions should I have asked? And these songs tackle all of that. Here is a clip of Over Again.
We rehearsed it for a month. I'm not worried about the set. I get tackled by the grief at times that I would least expect. I know what I should be doing when I'm singing, but instead we'll be playing through a song and I'll remember in my head. Sometimes, sometimes you don't say goodbye once. You say goodbye over and over and over again.
That's pretty emotional when you remember what he's writing and singing about.
Absolutely. Yeah, so new music from Mike Shinoda. Which,
we love you, Mike.
Great. Love that. Hey, I think the cat is in the studio there in L.A.
What?
You there?
I have three legs.
Cat, I understand you're hosting something pretty damn special.
I am, and I'm hoping I need, like, everybody's force to not pass out from fangirling tonight because, you know when you, like, grow up and then the posters on your wall are going to be, like, in your face? That's what's happening this evening, hosting the She Rocks Awards at the House of Blues in Anaheim. And it's been honoring women in the business. It started in 2012. It kind of grew out of the NAMM convention. And it's going to be Pat Benatar, Exene Cervenka from X.
Oh, my.
The B-52's Kate Pearson and Cindy Wilson.
Wow.
Melissa Etheridge.
Wow.
And then, like, a bunch of amazing women who work behind the scenes. So, yeah, it's pretty...
And this is an award show, or what?
Yeah, it's honoring these women for their, you know, their feats in music and in the industry. And so...
Kat is hosting it. Come on.
Right?
Yeah, right?
Again, passing out from fangirling.
Is this a thing that our listeners can come to or can watch?
Yes.
Somehow?
It's at the House of Blues in Anaheim. I'm not sure if tickets are still available, but they are for purchase. And it's called the She Rocks Awards. And it's going to be a good night. I'm really, really excited. I'm just excited to breathe the same air as these
ladies. Oh, sure, yeah. All right, dumb question, and forgive me if you already mentioned this, but will there be performances as well or just speeches or what?
As far as I know, there are going to be some performances, but I don't have the breakdown of who and what. So.
Gotcha. Oh, congratulations, Kat. That sounds like a great night.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. Yeah.
Just to ask you the totally wrong thing about this event.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to wear?
Oh, my God.
You know, you took an email after the show.
I mean, there's texting available, phone calls.
I'm just hoping to not get the anthrax while I'm down there. Because there's
it is
just
a thing.
Oh,
if you've been an AM, you get sick for a good 2-3 weeks after it.
I mean, there's just these people coming from all over, and it's all these gearheads, and everybody's, you know, touching the same equipment. I'm like, I'm turning into Stryker. I'm turning into Dragon Ball.
And for people that don't know NAMM, it's National Association of Music Merchants.
Yes, and so exhibitors, and you get to try equipment. And they do demos, and you know, there's artists walking around, and there's just gear everywhere, and you know,
there's
it's
the
great.
French kissing booth where we
obviously
get sick from. So good times.
The three
leg booth. Bean will not be manning that this year, so apologies to those attending to see Bean. Thank you so much, Kat.
Have fun in New York. Rip it up.
Thank you.
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, the SoCal Helpful Honda. We're going to be here in New York. Over the weekend, we're going to broadcast live from here on Monday for an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, now she hits it,
right?
Oh, now.
I'm sitting here filibustering, waiting.
You doze off, Chip? What's happening back there?
She totally slept.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Cut it out. You're being really creepy.
Hey, you know the drill.
Roll another one.
Fresno, what you sipping?
Just like the other one.
Fight the power. The struggle is real.
This one seems to be about quit.
That comment crossed the line, huh? That is very funny.
And I need another hit.
Well, that's all well and good, but what does Diplo think? God forbid I'm in my 40s and not married and I don't have children, so, oh my God, I gotta be uptight.
Wow. Stuff.
Right?
This is The Bad Place.
Just like the other one.
You see that? You see how white people do?
This one seems to be about...
It's a mockery of all our work.
And I don't have another cent.
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
But no more
I love everything about this story.
just pass it around.
Do your job, Kevin. Do your freaking job.
And the vulgar that join my friend.
Can you get the EPA involved, maybe? Is it?
Well, just pass it on down.
I want to break up. I'm out of this. This did not work out.
And I want to tell you, I listened to a bunch of stuff that was disgraceful. It was disgraceful.
I'm going to go ahead and I will meet you guys at the party. All right?
You stupid, replaceable listeners. The Mark and Brian radio program is over. We're not coming back. It's done. Some of you email me and request permission to enter. There's nothing to enter. The room of brilliance is dark. It's dead. It's over. The Mark and Brian radio program is over.